Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a live edition of Keeping It Real Fridays here on the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. Tonight, it's funny, we have a whole bunch of different topics that, you know, we have kind of lined up to discuss over the last couple weeks, or over the next couple weeks, but I found myself watching Atlanta X's yesterday. You know, just wanted to check it out, see what it was all about. Somebody said, you know, you should check it out. So I turned it on, and I actually found it very interesting, not because of the fights, not because of the drama, not because of the ratchetness, if you will, but mainly because it really falls in line with, you know, the subject matter that we talk about pretty much, you know, on a pretty regular basis here on the show, which is, you know, emotional availability, you know, or lack thereof. You know, many of the behaviors that are, play a huge role in, you know, men, you know, not viewing women in the way that they would like to be viewed, not treating them in the way that they like to be treated, and ultimately what prevents many women from being found by the man that God has for them. So what we want to do tonight is, you know, use these women not to, like I said, not to exploit them, not to gossip, not to, you know, just talk, you know, talk about it in a negative way, but really, you know, use the show like we've done so many other shows in the past as a teaching tool to help, you know, you guys see real life examples of, you know, what not to do, how not to be, you know, what kind of situations you don't want to put yourselves in. We want to talk tonight about moving on from, you know, a past failed relationship, you know, how to cope, how to heal, how to deal, you know what I mean? So we're going to use, you know, Usher's wife or ex-wife, you know, Tamika Raymond, and, you know, the rest of these women whose names at the moment escape me. But that's what we're going to do tonight, man. You know, you guys are welcome to call in with any comments or questions or, you know, any other topics you might want to discuss as well. Courtney's here with me tonight. Courtney, how are you this evening?
I am good. Very excited about the show. It's very entertaining to me. And like you said, it's a good teaching tool because there's a lot of things that I noticed in the show. So I really, you know, want to get into it. But, yeah, how about you?
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited, too, for those same reasons. It's funny, if you guys are, used to listening to this show. In fact, I found out the exact number, I did find out the exact number, but I don't have it in front of me right now. But we're actually, you know, we always say around 1,000. We're actually close to 2,000 episodes over the last 10 years, actually. So, you know, that's a big accomplishment. Maybe we'll have a 2,000 episode, you know, party at some point. But, you know, we're definitely, you know, so I say that to say, and out of all those episodes, you know, you've heard us discuss shows like, you know, Preachers of L.A., like Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, you know, the New York one, the Kardashians, you know, T.I. and Tiny. You know, like I said, these are all excellent examples of the types of behaviors that, you know, many, you know, just not just women, but men in general, you know, I should say men and women, you know, will use and will illustrate that really take away from the likelihood of them maintaining a successful relationship. So definitely want to get into that today. But before we do, Courtney, I mean, I've been getting a lot of feedback about our last live show. You know, last week on our post VMA special, which was on decoding Illuminati symbolism, which, you know, I told you guys beforehand. I'm telling you again now. I mean, you know that show was just the foundation, you know, and really a blueprint of what anyone, you know. You know, anyone who cares, anyone who is interested in recognizing clear and blatant examples of demonic activity, satanic behavior, imagery, you know, just things that are clearly not of God in the entertainment industry. You know, you have it now. You have the information. There's no question about it. There's no, you know, confusion. We laid it all out for you. You know what I mean? Like, you can use it, you download it onto a CD, use it as a, you know, a reference point going forward if you have questions, because, I mean, I really try to give it all to you in, you know, in about 3 hours. So, Courtney, what did you think? Any feedback that you got on our last live special?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very good show, by the way. But a lot of people were saying that they just weren't aware of just what is going on just in the industry. So I know that a lot of people learn from it and even admitted that, you know, they don't look at things the same anymore when they look at music videos and things like that. And like you said before, it won't be the same. And then after we did the show, I was watching R&B Divas LA on TV, and someone threw up the 666. But check this out, though. I wasn't even looking at the TV screen. I was doing something else. And then it's like at the corner of my eye, I saw it, and I turned. And that's how it is.
It's funny.
Never be the same.
Let me tell you something. I was watching the same exact thing. I know exactly. You're talking about Warren Campbell, right?
Yeah, but I was talking about Chrisette Michelle in the studio when they were with Warren Campbell. Yeah.
Okay, well, I saw that too. I thought you were talking about, because I was just watching it recently. Warren Campbell throws it up blatantly, a double 666. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? where they were all, it was on the most recent episode. So, I mean, you guys are going to see it. That's just like little stuff. Like, you know, you'll see it all over. It won't be like, you know, here and there. It's literally everywhere, and you know, it will only increase as we get closer to you know, to the end. So that's, you know, what's going on with that. I just want to thank everybody who came out to Oshel's free seminar on Tuesday. It was very, very, very informative, very well done. You know, shout out to him. You know, just, you know, true man of God. We had it at his church, and you know, just a great. You know, great experience, great conversation, great information. So a great fellowship, you know, we stayed after and, you know, talked for a little bit. So had a good time there. I know, Courtney, you said you were hating from the Chicago area. You wanted to be out there?
Yeah, I really wanted to be there. But, you know, I have my Philly informant. So, you know, they tell me what's going on. And they actually went to the seminar and they were just saying how great it was and how real it was. And it's not for, you know, it wasn't sugarcoated and it wasn't for lukewarm Christians either. So I heard a lot of good feedback and it made you think. That's what I heard too.
Right, right. That's basically what we're here for. In fact, one of the main things, you know, that before we get into really tonight's topic is that I would encourage everybody to, you know, as you watch the news, as you watch, you know, the media, you know, the coverage of, like, the stuff going on in, you know, Ferguson and different things like that, to, and I said this on Facebook, you know, don't allow the current, you know, domestic, international, you know, whatever battle of black versus white, rich versus poor, you know, whatever, to distract you from the far greater war that is waging on of good versus evil, God versus Satan. Because these things are real, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't a joke. This is, you know, it's not, I mean, this is real. I mean, the Bible confirms it. This is what's actually really important. Not, you know, Michael, there are going to be more Michael Browns. There's going to be more Fergusons. There's going to be more Trayvon Martins. There's going to be more of that. There have been, you know, there was Meg Guevara's way before there were any of those guys. You know what I'm saying? All types of stuff. You know, kids getting killed. I mean, my grandfather grew up listening to him tell me stories of, you know, how, you know, he had to, you know, walk, like if he was walking on the sidewalk and a white man was walking towards him, he would have to step down into the street. You know what I'm saying? They weren't even allowed to walk on the same sidewalk. Can you imagine that, Corey? Just having, like, just step into the street if you were walking past a white man or a woman?
Wow, I've heard that before, but, like, imagining that now, like, wow, that's crazy.
I mean, yeah, that's basically how it was. I mean, not even how it was, but how it still is. So it escapes me, you know, every time stuff like this happens that, you know what I'm saying, we're surprised. It's like, it's cool to be angry. You know what I mean? You can be angry, but don't be surprised. Don't be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is still going. No, it's not supposed to change. It's not supposed to, you know, we may want it to, but it's not going to. you know, what's most important, to be honest with you guys, you know, we talked about this a couple shows ago, was the real problem in the black community. You know what I'm saying? The real problem in the black community is us. That's what surprises me. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what angers me. What angers me, you guys know I got the new salon opening up, and the progress is coming along nicely. You know, we're going to be opening, you know, in really a couple of weeks. I'll keep you guys posted on that. But, you know, I've been a business owner, but like I told you, I've never had like a storefront or anything like that. And just seeing how much money goes into the business, time, money, you know, anxiety goes into the business side of things. But then you look at, I'm talking about from a production standpoint, you know, just being able to function. But then you got to actually, and this is something that is what really, you know, angers me about us, is that you have to put thousands of dollars into protecting your investment. Not, you know what I'm saying? Not, I mean, there's certain things that any business is going to have to do, but, like, there's certain things that you have to do specifically because you're in the black community. Black business owners have to spend thousands of dollars, extra dollars, that white people don't have to spend to protect their businesses from black people. Does anybody see a problem with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. And you guys have always heard me speak about it, but now you're really going to hear me speak about it, because I just dropped $2,000 specifically just on, bars for the, you know what I'm saying? Like, those gates that you got to slide down over the storefront so that people don't vandalize your stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I do. See that all the time.
You see it all the time, all right? You see it in the black community all the time. You don't see them in the white community. You know what I'm saying? Those things are not in the white community. You go into these suburbs, and you don't see them. And I've made that my business to do. Like, I've been driving around everywhere I go. I'm, like, looking. Like, before you just drive around. Now, as a business owner, I'm actually looking. I'm like, wow, every single black business in the hood has those either bars on the windows or these, you know, the overhead, you know, roll gates. And it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate that you have to do that, you know, against your, you know, for your own people. You know what I mean? And that actually, it angers me, it saddens me. You know, I had to go out and get a state-of-the-art alarm system. You know, and this is all information you guys don't necessarily have to have, but I wanted to share it because you don't often hear that, like, that side of business. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you deal with a lot of black business owners, but you don't often hear what goes into opening a black-owned business. You know what I'm saying? And the hypocrisy and the just the ridiculous aspect of the, you know what I'm saying, the fact that, you know, we are our own biggest enemy. So that, ladies and gentlemen, pisses me off far, you know, more than a Michael Brown. You know what I'm saying? And that's just me, and it should piss you guys off as well. You know what I mean? I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Just for me. I know you're up there in Chicago. You see a lot of that same stuff.
Yeah, I see it all the time. And I see it, but I don't know why I didn't really think, you know, that much about it as far as just what goes into, you know, maintaining and just right. Alarm systems and all of that.
I mean, the funny thing is, same thing with me. I mean, I'm at the business, I'm at the shop every day doing different things. I got my contractors there, you know, painting and doing different things. And there's not a day that I don't, and it's sad that I have to even say this, that I don't, like, I go there and I'm surprised that there's not some type of, you know, spray paint, you know, on the wall or outside. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be like that, because, you know, you drive around, it's graffiti, just so you know. If you go through the hood, there's basically graffiti on every black-owned business just about, you know, in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you guys never noticed that, I don't care where you're listening from, Cali, L.A., Chicago, wherever you're listening from, you just go through your hood, I guarantee you're going to see some spray paint on the vast majority of these businesses. That's a shame. Go to these white neighborhoods, they don't have to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? So that stuff is not cheap. You know, it's not cheap to have to repaint. It's not cheap to have to fix broken windows, broken glass, vandalism, you know what I mean? Like, it's a shame. So we just, sad to say, we have to do better. You know, they say, oh, we need more black-owned businesses, but I see why people aren't opening black-owned businesses in the hood, because they don't want to have to deal with the niggas in the hood. You know, it's just, and I'm in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, not like the horrible part of the, but you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie to y'all. It ain't, you know, it ain't the suburbs. So, you know, just think about that. And even if you are not going to actively start a business or anything, all I'm saying is just be aware. Just be aware of what it is. You know what I'm saying? Be aware of what's going on out here. It's not all good. You know, racist white cops are far, I mean, far from our worst problem. You know what I'm saying? But trust me on that. Far from, I go by my shop. Bastards just throw candy wrappers on the freaking ground. When I moved in, I have basically the whole block. Like, my block where my shop is, I have the whole block. Like, the house that it's, you know, the storefront in, the house itself is unoccupied. So, really, that whole block is, like, you know, it's a relatively small block. It was unoccupied for several years. So, I moved in there, and as soon as I got, I was so excited. I just came myself. You know what I'm saying, with like three bags, a bag, you know, a box full of trash bags, a broom, and a dustpan, and I didn't clean in front of my shop. I just, like, you know what I'm saying, cleaned up the whole thing. It was like five bags of trash, not grass and stuff like that, but just garbage cans that these freaking bastards just threw on the ground. Now that was like, you know, maybe like a month ago. But why do I still have to? You know, I don't know if they're going to get the hint, like, okay, there's actually a business here. There's, you know what I mean? It's not unoccupied anymore. Not that that makes a difference, but it's like you see a business, you're still going to just throw candy on the ground. You don't have to deal with that stuff in the white neighborhoods. I go out there every day and I'm sweeping up. It's like people's, you know, soda bottles. I could tell you all types of stuff that I've seen. You know, that's crazy. And I, you know, you drive around, you walk around, you see trash on the ground, but you never really think about it, like, until it affects you, you know, as a owner, you know, as maybe it's your house, you know what I'm saying, but your business. That's all I'm saying. So I just want to encourage us to, you know, look around and just, if you see some trash, pick it up. You know, if there's a trash can, right, don't just throw it on the ground, you know what I'm saying? Go actually throw it in the trash. So, I mean, is that too much to ask, Courtney?
No, it's not. And I mean, I see that all the time. Little kids just walking past businesses and, you know, someone's house and just throwing stuff on the lawn or whatever. And I remember, just real quick, when I was little, my grandma used to cuss people out for that. Like, they would just throw, like, garbage. Like, bad kids just throw garbage just everywhere. Like, people don't have respect or regard for anything anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy out here. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the world that we live in. Like I said, though, I want to talk tonight about the Atlanta X's. You know, we've done a lot of shows similar to this, and I wasn't even planning on watching. You know, like some of those shows, you know, I see come on, I just ignore them. Some of them I know are going to be good examples. That's why we talk about them. And this one, I found out was one of them. So what do we have? We got who's on the show? Is this one of the shows you watch? Cause I know some of them you don't even mess with.
Yes, this is one of the shows that I watch.
All right, so we got Usher's ex-wife. We got Kevin Hart's ex-wife. We got CeeLo Green's ex-wife. We got Neo's ex-fiance. And we have the ex-wife of Ray Buchanan. Now, you know, what I did was I was watching. I found myself... you know, jotting some notes down. And these, so we're going to jump around. So these are in no particular order, but we can start with Kevin Hart. What's your take on, please forgive me. I don't remember all of their names. I just wrote Kev's chick, Usher's chick, you know what I'm saying? Neo's. You know,
that's okay.
That's just how I, so, but her name is what?
Her name's Tori.
Tori Hart. Right. All right. What do you make of Tori Hart?
Tori is not over Kevin. I mean, I guess it's obvious, right? But she's very hurt just over the failed relationship. And what I see on the show with her is she tries to mask the pain, like, you know, in front of, like, quote, in front of close friends, like, she'll say what's going on, like, I'm hurt or whatever. But when it's, like, in a group setting with a whole bunch of women, like, she cracks a bunch of jokes. Like, you know, turns into stand-up comedy routine. And it's really a defense mechanism. That's what I get from her, because she's really hurt.
Right. That's what a lot of women I've found do. You know, and ladies, you really got to be careful with that. You know, when we talk about emotional availability, really, you know, we've done a number of shows on, you know, really what that means. You know, we do private counseling if you really want to do a free emotional availability assessment, just to gauge your level of emotional availability, your ability to move on with a clear heart, a clean slate, and just really, you know, have love with the man that God has for you. But, you know, what you see from Tori is a good example of her, like Courtney said, being still affected, using laughter, using jokes as a defense mechanism to hide the pain, to hide the insecurity, and maybe, and really in her case, and in some of these other cases also, just downright embarrassment about the situation. And don't get me wrong, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, her story, I'm not, before we go any further, if you guys are new to this show, if you guys have been listening to the show, you know that what we do here, which is something that makes us unique, is that we're not here to place blame. We're not here to assess judgment. We're here to just call it like it is and to use these situations to help anyone listening avoid these types of situations. You know, whether it's being proactive as far as, you know, avoiding those types of men, you know, or maybe you yourself have been that ride or die chick for 7, 8 years, 10 years, you know, been there from the start or whatever, only to see him cheat and leave you for some, you know, some chick. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're trying to help you avoid, and we can help you do that. You know, and that's what we're going to use these women's situations to do. Perfect example here with Tori. You know, obviously, you know, she says that he cheated, and I don't know, you know, if that's true or not, but, you know, according to what she said, you know, he cheated, he had an affair. She was there from the beginning, you know, as you guys saw from, you know, the show, she was saying that, you know, she was there when he wasn't even doing comedy. He was selling shoes or something, what was it?
Yeah, I think she did say that, yeah.
Selling shoes, something like that. So, you know, many of you can relate to that, you know. You know, you've been there. You were supportive. And that hurts. You know what I'm saying? No one's blaming her for having his kids and having his back and helping him to get to where he needs to be and, you know, being successful. You know, that's not, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, but at the end of the day, you got to play the cards that you're, you know, the hand that you're dealt. You know, it didn't work out, you know. And instead of turning to God, instead of turning to, you know, your faith, instead of, you know, asking God to take away that hurt, take away that pain, take away those trust issues, remove the wall, lower the guard, you know, you are bottling these emotions up, and, you know, that's not something that can be hidden. You know, everybody starts out all nice. This is, understand, ladies, this is one of the things that all men are extremely wary of. You know, it's like we meet these women who on the surface seem cool. Okay, yeah, you're cool. You're single. You're professional. You're a homeowner. Okay, you got your own thing going on. Ha ha, everything is cool. But then the real you shows. You know what I'm saying? The depression shows. The emotion show. The anger show. You know, just like what I'm thinking, oh, okay, you know, we watched the first episode, my wife and I was like, oh, okay, cool. They seem like they're not so bad. Tamika, all these things about Tamika, you know what I'm saying? She's not so bad. I heard Kevin, you know, Hart's wife, you know, ex-wife had some issues. Oh, they don't seem so bad. They're laughing and joking, but that was just the first 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? By episode 2, they're wilding out. They're fighting. They're turning into the basketball wild. I'm like, oh, here we go. And that's what we as men are all too familiar with. We see it all the time. Listen to what I'm saying. Like, when you guys hear me when I say you can never date and should never date when you're in any form of emotional unavailability state, that's specifically because we as men are trained to spot that. We're trained to spot the Tory Hearts. We see that a mile away. We see that in the first 15 minutes. We don't need to get to episode 3 to find out that she's got some serious issues. We see that the moment we meet you. Ladies, understand, you can't hide that. Tory Hart can't hide that. These women are out there talking about dating. Talking about, oh, yeah, I want to date. And we're going to get to the other women. But I'm just, you see what I'm saying? They're talking about going on blind dates. They're talking about, oh, yeah, we should do X, Y. No one is going to date you. No one is going to take you seriously when you're clearly not over your ex. This premise of this show is just, it's so ridiculous. I mean, all of them really are, but it's just like this in particular is a show specifically about exes. You know what I'm saying? And these women really, really think that these men are, as they're being videotaped on the show about you not being over your ex, and the drama that ensues and, you know, surrounding your ex, they really think that these men are, oh, okay, cool, let me give you my heart. Let me try to get to your heart. I mean, Courtney, knowing what you know, does that make any sense whatsoever?
No, not at all.
I mean, ladies, you got to be smart about this stuff. You got to take yourself out of, like, I know you want a date. Like, I know you want, you know what I'm saying, you want love. But you got to put yourself in the man's shoes and ask, okay, well, what do men want? We don't care about the fact that you've got a job. We don't care about the fact that you have a house, you have money, you have a car. None of those things matter. I want to know what your emotional state is like. I don't care about your bank account. I want to know about your emotional account. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you over your ex? Do you cry yourself to sleep at night? You know, are you going to be looking at me, comparing me to someone else from your past who hurt you? Are you going to lash out at, you know, at other females based on the fact that you really have anger towards these men? You know you can't fight these men, but you can fight Tamika Raymond. You know what I'm saying? You can fight so-and-so. So that's how you're going to let that aggression out. That's what's going on with Chrissy. That's, you know, from Love and Hip Hop. That's what's going on with Evelyn from Basketball. That's what's going on with the new the chick that used to be on Love and Hip Hop, Tracy, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. You know, saying these women are really mad, and I'm just saying, ladies, you gotta let that emotion go. You know, you gotta let that pain go. Courtney, you ever walked around with built up anger and frustration, hurt and pain?
Yes. And try to cover it with a smile, but that doesn't work. People can see right through that.
See, that's the problem. You know, like you said, Courtney, you can't cover it up with a smile. You can't cover it up with jokes. You can't cover it up with sex. Because that's what a lot of women do is, you know, they say, all right, well, you know, let me, you know, have sex with someone new to help me get over the hurt and pain, you know, from someone from my past. So this sex will make it all go away. It's like alcohol. It's like drugs. It's the same thing. It's a temporary distraction from the real problem. But after the alcohol, you know, your buzz wears off, whatever, you know what I'm saying? After the orgasm stops, you stop shaking, you know, wake up the next morning filled with conviction or no conviction, depending on your relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to go back to reality of feeling like, because you know that, you know what I'm saying, you've done something that only made the problem worse. Alcohol is a depressant. You know, drugs are depressant. Sex is a depressant. These are all depressants, meaning they further the already existing depression. You know what I'm saying? A lot of women, that's a very ugly word. That's one of these shows. You guys have heard me mention it a number of times. It's something I've been letting mentally marinate. I've been doing some research, doing some prayer. We're going to be tackling the topic of depression soon, depression and emotional addiction, because it's something that, you know, is ever so present in the Black community. You know, we look at suicide, we look at I mean, you just look at everything. I mean, it's all over. So we got to tackle it from a biblical perspective. But you know, it's very evident with Tori Hart. You know, I think hopefully everybody can see that. I mean, she's not a happy camper. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we want. You know, we want women who are not just appear to be happy, but who are actually happy with themselves. Actually, you know what I'm saying? And listen, your job is not going to give you that happiness. Please understand that. You know, whatever it is, your degrees are not going to give you that happiness. If you know you got your heart broken by a man, the only person that can give you that happiness, the only thing that can give you that happiness is God. You know, is a strong and healthy and passionate relationship about Jesus Christ. Anything short of that, that depression, that hurt, that pain of seeing him and getting engaged to his girlfriend on your, what was the significance of that, Courtney? I forget.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was something. I don't know. I think it was I think it was her birthday. But y'all can call in and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. But so, you guys know what I'm talking about. Kevin Hart proposed to her, you know, on his girlfriend on the exact day of whatever it was that was super monumental. And you know, and that's all I'm saying. When you have Jesus Christ, that those types of things, you'll notice it, but it won't affect you like that. It won't be a big deal. You know, if you look at the show, she just was talking. So I think somebody just asked her, like, you know, so yeah, what's going on? Like, how are you feeling? She just broke down into tears. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? You know, I mean, and be honest with yourself. And this is for you. This is for the people listening at home silently right now. You know what I'm saying? This is for the people who are too cool for the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. This is the people, you know what I'm saying, that just like to listen to the show. They don't like to comment. That's cool. This is for you guys, though. You know what I'm saying? The people who just listen because they really want, you know what I'm saying, they want to, you know, be better. They want love. This is for you. I want you to be honest with yourselves. I want you to ask yourself, you know, do you, like, when you talk about an ex, can you talk about an ex without getting emotional? Can you talk about a situation without feeling some type of way? If you feel some type of way, you got to call me. You got to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to talk. We got to start the process of healing. But if you're still dealing with, you know, those emotions, that's cool. It's cool to go through a process of healing. But please don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're 37. I don't care if you're 42. I don't care what your plan is. I don't care what your age is. You would be doing yourself a disservice trying to rush the process by dating if you know that you're still feeling some type of way about a situation or about a man. It's only going to end in disaster because, again, we as men are never, ever going to take a woman seriously who is still hurting about, you know, what another man did to her. Doesn't mean you can't have love. It means you got to deal with that pain first. And not doing so will really, in the long run, you know, it'll cause you to, you're just wasting your own time. You know, I had this same conversation with a young woman recently, you know, and unfortunately she chose not to take my advice. And I asked her I wanted to read a letter, but I'm going to hold off on it because I think she's okay with me reading the letter, but I want to make sure she's okay with me reading the letter. But, you know, the title of the letter was "I Should Have Listened to You." Okay? But, you know, hopefully I'll be able to, because I do, you know, I respect everyone's privacy, but I don't know if there was anything in the letter that would be too specific. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to respect people's privacy, but that was the title of the letter. And shout out to her, she's listening. I would love to continue working with this young woman because we were making some serious progress, but then she stopped and she decided she wanted to kind of date this guy. And this was maybe about a year and a half ago, you know what I'm saying? And now I just got the email a couple of days ago saying, you know, I should have listened. And it was about a 2-page letter, pretty much just, you know, detailing all of the hurt and the pain that has ensued you know, since then. How crazy is that, Courtney?
Wow. That's deep. I hope everything, you know, works out for her. I really do. As far as, you know, healing from that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, she can have it. She can have healing. You know what I'm saying? It's just that she's just got to, you know, there's a plan for this stuff. There's a blueprint. You follow the plan. You know, it will lead you to, you know, to where you want to get to. And the only reason for that is because the plan is based on the Bible. We do biblically based, you know, relationship counseling. You know, that's it. So there's that. So, but yeah, I was just watching, you know, Tori, and, you know, and like I said, that anger that you guys see, all that lashing out towards Tamika and all that, the petty bickering. I mean, it's all, she's mad at Kevin. Now, here's the thing. I'm focusing on her right now, but we're going to go through everybody. But there's a lot to say about each of these women, and because they all have very unique situations. Even though it seems like they're similar, they're all very unique and all really the epitome of emotional unavailability. If you guys ever have heard that term, you've heard me use it, you've heard Courtney use it, you've seen it posted in the group or whatever, please use tonight's show as like that blueprint, you know, for, you know, the definition of emotional unavailability, because this is it right here. In fact, they all in their own way encompass exactly what it is, just in different ways. So trust me, it's very, very important stuff right here. But what I was going to say is, as far as the anger and the bitterness, not only do you see that directed towards other women, but you see it also directed towards Kevin. Because here's the thing, as Courtney said earlier, she said, well, it's clear that she's not over Kevin, which is obvious. You know what I'm saying? That's clear. But here's the thing. If she's not over him and she still feels that hurt and pain, why is she still trying to play him? Did you notice the insults towards Kevin on the low?
Yeah. She did a lot of that. Like, especially, like, about his career and stuff like that, and about, you know, how he wouldn't be where he is now if it wasn't for her, and just a whole bunch of stuff.
She said a lot of that type of stuff. You know, which see, I mean, for her to even be talk for you, that's the crazy. I mean, the fact that these women are even on the show, the fact that there's even a show called Atlanta Exes, that right there shows that you're still emotionally tied to your ex. If you're an emotionally available woman who's ready for the next chapter of her life, why are you going to be put on a show called Atlanta Exes, which showcases your relationship with your ex? You have to now relive everything. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's doomed. It was doomed before it even started. These rich producers are just making money off of, you know, exploiting these women's emotional unavailability. But what I found, I mean, there's some truth to that. I mean, because for real, I probably wouldn't be where I am without, you know, my wife and, you know what I'm saying, without her support and her feedback. This new shop, I ask her a lot of questions and what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are all things that I know I do. I mean, so I can only imagine, you know, the help that she gave Kevin Hart all those years. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure she's played a huge role in his success. So but the fact that she's talking about it, that's where the problem lies, but I'm sure there's some truth to that. But the problem is, here's the thing. I mean, this is the father of your children. You know, this is someone who you were married to. You got smashed off a million times by. But now you're trying to play him, talking about something. I married a midget. I don't want to be with another midget. Like, come on. Is all that necessary? You weren't worried about him being a midget when you was getting the you know what I'm saying, the Django, right? I mean, did you peep that?
Mm-hmm.
What's all
that?
You know what I'm saying? That's not cool. Ladies, let me just tell y'all something. Listen, I mean, just because a man does something that you may not like or the relationship, that you know, didn't end the way that you would have liked it to end, I mean, that's cool. But don't start trying to insult these guys, you know, when they were the apple of your eye for all these years. It's like, come on, don't. That just messes you up. Don't try to play the guy. You know, so I had women in my, you know, from my past, exes, you know, try to play me after the fact. Like, come on, like let's be serious now. You know what I mean? Let's just be serious. Yeah, but you can't play me. You're like, you know, 40 years old, you know, 50 pounds heavier than when I even dated. You know what I mean? Like, that's not cool. Don't do that. And I wouldn't even lash back out because I know it's not, you know what I'm saying? I have no exes, no one from my past who I have anything negative to say about. If you guys ever know, you listen to this show, you guys know that. You don't hear me bashing any exes. In fact, Courtney, have you ever heard me, you know, bashing an ex or talking negatively, spreading rumors, dropping names?
No, not at all, because you moved on from it like it's nothing.
Right. I mean, I'll share situations, with the intent of helping you guys not do those things that led to the demise of the actual relationship. But as far as, you know, negativity to those actual individuals, I don't have any animosity, and that's how you know when you have moved on. You know, that's how you know when, you know, you have that clean slate. You know, whereas, you know, Tori, she's saying a whole bunch of – I heard her on the radio here in Philly recently. She was doing a local interview, and she just a lot of anger, you know, and that comes through in your spirit. See, a lot of women, they think that they can just laugh and joke and, you know, play it off and be whatever. But, you know, that it comes through in your spirit. And certainly if you're dealing with, you know, when you're talking about a true man of God, you got to realize they're going to have that discernment. You know, they're going to be able to pick up on your spirit. You know, they got that hodometer, if you will. Oh, sorry. You know what I'm saying? We're not supposed to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about, but I'm just saying, whether it's a, you know, a sexual spirit, whether it's, you know, an emotional, you know, spirit, whatever's going on, we're going to know. That's why I'm saying you got to be genuine with it. You got to really be okay. You might be able to pull one over on the, you know, on a man, maybe, on a good day, but you can't fool God. And if you're dealing with a man of God, God's going to have that man's back as far as being able to. And you guys will too. Just like, you know, when you have that great relationship with God, you'll be able to have discernment as to whether or not you're dealing with a true man of God. So it goes the same way. But it's just that a lot of women don't look at it from that perspective. They just assume, like, okay, well, this is what I want to be portrayed, so this is what he's going to see based on what I want him to see. But no, we're going to see what it is. All right? So there's that. What else do I want to say about her? Now here's the thing. This is really unfortunate. You know, this was really, really sad. I mean, you know, you look at the situation with her and Tamika Raymond. I mean, it's just pettiness. And a lot of this is the producers. A lot of this is the, you know, just them trying to instigate and, you know, show get the most ratings for drama. I get that. I know all about television. But, I mean, when she brought up her kids, I mean, this is someone who lost, a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, her child was was killed. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to bring that up? You're going to bring that up in the heat of an argument? Is that cool, Courtney?
No, not at all. When she did that, I was like, that was really a low blow. You just don't do that.
Right, right. You know, so, I mean, and it's funny because when you, where else did we see that? What was that on Basketball Wives? Basketball Wives. Where the chick, who was it? Was it Malaysia? No, it wasn't Malaysia. You watched that one?
Mm-mm.
Who was it? I forget. It was, I don't know. But I know that the young woman said something about, it's just low blows. You know, when I know they went overseas to London or something. I don't even be watching these shows half the time. I'm just like, unless I'm doing a show, I'm like not even into it. But when you are on a certain emotional level, you know, when you have been hurt to a certain point, you want other people to hurt in that. That's what it was. She was talking about the chick, talking about some, and even Phaedra too, talking about Kenya having scrambled eggs, and it was the young woman talking about some you can't even have kids, or, you know, you lost your baby and this and that. You know what I'm saying? It's, and, you know, her talking about you don't even have your kids. That they want these, they want to say whatever it is that they can say to make these women really hurt. And that's that depression. That's like nothing but the devil right there. I mean, seriously, when you want to hurt someone to that level, when you're seeking out things specifically to say to hurt somebody, like to their core, that's because you are hurting at your core. You ever felt like that, Courtney?
Yes, just taking it out, taking the hurt and depression out on people. Yeah, I did it. And, you know, a lot of friendships ended because of that. You know, because I couldn't deal with whatever it was I was going through, I would take it out on my friends.
Right. Now, so that's, you know, Tori Hart. And, I mean, don't expect us. I mean, we may mention it, but don't expect us to, like, you know, do multiple shows. And I probably won't even continue watching, to be honest with you. I knew I wanted to watch, you know, just, you know, get caught up just specifically so I could do. I was really just going to do – I had enough information just off the first show just to do with this show that I wanted to do tonight. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, you know what, let me just see everything that's going on. But after that, I mean, it's like it's just foolishness after that because you already know what's coming. You already know it's just going to be more drama. So it's just like at some point, at what point do you say, wow, like I don't even want to let that into my spirit. But so Tamika, let's talk about Tamika for a little bit. Let's talk about her situation. Now, she's probably had the most public, breakup of all these women. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff with their, you know, in court custody battles, and you know, obviously the death of her son with the jet ski accident. And don't get me wrong. Let me just say this too. When you think about the term emotional availability, please do not look at that as an insult. Please don't take that in any type of derogatory or accusatory manner, because it's not. It's simply, you know, a state of being that could be caused by circumstances through no fault of your own. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have a child that passes, if you have, you know, a loved one, a parent, you know, whatever, someone dies, someone passes away, that is emotional unavailability. Like, if you're grieving, you're emotionally unavailable. That's not about it being your fault. It's not about that. It's just about what it is. It's just about healing. So if you have a death of a loved one and you're grieving, it would be very detrimental to you to say, okay, let me go ahead and start dating right now. You know, let me go on this blind date and just see how it works out. That would not be a good idea, because you're still going to attract the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, the players. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's not, so don't look at it like, oh, well, I'm not a hoe. I'm not having sex with anybody. I'm not dressing like a slut. You know, I'm not out here doing the things that these other women, but you know what you may be going through. In short, emotional unavailability is anything that takes away your ability to give 100% of your heart to the man that God has for you. All right? So clearly, I don't care if it's you got 90% emotional availability, but there's still that 10%. You know what I'm saying? That's still dedicated to a past situation, a death of someone, or you're grieving, or you're going through something emotionally, whatever it is. Because you got to ask yourself, what man, Courtney, wants 90% of his woman's heart?
None that I know.
Right. No one. That's how you got to look at it. You got to look at it as the fact that we as men are praying for a woman who is emotionally available to give us 100% of her heart. If you got that percentage, I mean, and 10% is just being generous. You know darn well that guy from last week, he got about a good 75% of your heart right now. You know, it's only 25 that's ready to move on, but this guy occupies 75% of your thoughts and your emotions. So you already know there's not a man on the planet that wants only 25% of his woman's heart. Or maybe he'll start out with you at 25%, and then you guys work your way up down the line, and maybe eventually he'll have 100%. Even that doesn't work. I mean, that would be crazy to think. I mean, in theory, that might make sense, maybe. But in reality, that's wishful thinking. Okay? You got to be 100% emotionally available if you want love, period. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to say, oh, no, these men will work with you. They'll see past that. They'll stick around. If there's a wall up, he'll hopefully get that wall down. Listen, that's not what we do. Okay? You know, it's not going to happen. In fact, I was just talking to some of my homies. Understand, guys, when we open up, you know, we're right there in Philly, right at 69th and Ogontz. You guys come over to the shop. We're going to be having actual barbershop talk sessions, but they're not just going to be for the men. They're going to be for women also. So we're going to have the fellas talking about the things that they that we talk about. Then we're going to let the women, and like, you know, be like on a Friday night, you know, have some wine, you know, have some, some snacks, you know, nothing expensive, you know what I'm saying? Some cheap stuff. No, I'm just playing. No, but like a nice time, you know what I mean? Like a Friday night, and we'll just let the women in on, you know, what the types of topics that, you know, we talk about in the barbershop. So, you know, you guys can come on out. It'll be a good time. I'll keep you guys posted on all that. Courtney, you might as well just mess around and move to Philly. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking that. I'm not even kidding. When you were just talking, I'm like, dang, I need to be in Philly.
I already know you want to be a part of all this stuff. You know?
Yes.
Come get your dreads. What you growing dreads? What you doing, Courtney?
No, I have twists, but I mean, I take them out at the end of them. Them out at the end. Oh, keep going. Sorry.
Are you going to just keep them as twists?
No, right now I'm not even wearing twists. They're just, my hair is just like out and curly. I alternate. It's just like for pictures and videos, it's in twists, but I wear it different ways.
Got you. Oh, that's a good look on you, though. I like the twist. That's a nice natural hairstyle. In fact, guys, when we open up, we're actually going to be specializing, and we got a number of different stylists. So if you want to get your, you know, your twists, if you want to get your locks, if you want to get your, braids, we got a woman who specializes in braids. You're going to get your, you know, weaves or whatever you want to do. You know, come on through. Wash, curl, style, cut. I mean, listen, we do it all. We got a barber, fellas. You're in Philly. I haven't been putting stuff out there because I just, you know what I'm saying? I want to be patient, but at the same time, I'm excited. I want to just go hard, but trust me, we'll be open before you know it, and it's going to be the new Philly hot spot. So, definitely look out for those little barbershop talk rap sessions coming soon. So I still have to say with Tamika Raymond, like if you are going through something, just go through it, deal with it, heal from it, and then, you know, and then work on that, getting that relationship with God to where it needs to be, and then you can start thinking about dating. All right, same thing here with same thing. It looks like, according to her, and I don't know, you know, I know Usher said he's been around the world. He's, you know, kissed a lot of girls. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he actually cheated, but, you know, that's what she's saying. You know, so, you know, that hurts. You know, so she's dealing with, you know, the loss of her child, her husband cheating, the ultimate divorce. I mean, that's a lot. You know, and I'll tell you guys something, to be real with y'all, here's the thing, and I'm only three episodes in just like you guys, but I'll be real with you. She's actually not anywhere as bad as I thought she would be, and she's not half as bad as these other women out here, based on what we've seen so far. I'm just telling y'all that right now. A lot of people have been talking about, oh, you know, Usher's, I'm like, well, what about, I mean, she's, I mean, I don't see any. I mean, they're all emotionally unavailable, clearly. But when you look at Tori Hart, when you look at CeeLo's, when you look at the Ray Buchanan's, you know what I'm saying? His ex, those are the ones that are most, you know, more out there than her. In fact, she's the one who seems to be the voice of reason in most of these situations. I don't know, but what's your thoughts on that?
It's funny you say that because I thought that she was the worst, but then now that I think about it, that's how she's portrayed on there as being the bad guy. But when I think about it, she really didn't do anything. Like, that was just horrible. Because even when, like, Tracy and Tori were trying to fight her, like, she was calm. Like, she, you know, she didn't match their level of, like, anger and all of that. So, yeah, you do have a point.
That's what I'm saying. When you really think about it, when you really watch it and watch her compared to the rest of these women wilding out and the things that they're talking about, the cussing, she was more laid back. Even when Tori was coming for her all hard, really trying to pick a fight with her at her charity event, which is ludicrous, you know what I'm saying, to say the least. Like, you're at her event, you come there with an attitude to pick a fight, and I kind of liked the way that she handled it. She could have got all loud and, you know, started wilding out, acting a fool, but, you know, if you go back and watch it and really watch how it could have ended up and how it ended versus how it did end up. And I think you'll see that, you know, her reaction wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been, which I like, you know what I'm saying? Because I can't stand just ghetto chicks, man, just ghetto. And one of the things that you got to realize is that, again, these are all, a lot of women focus on what, you know, how they interact with men. They're very particular about how they conduct themselves around men that they're interested in, right? They say, okay, I want to be on my best behavior, especially in the beginning. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. That's cool and all, but you're wilding out with these other women. These men watch that stuff. They watch how you interact with other women, other men, other people, other situations. So if you're out there acting crazy, it doesn't matter if you treat us crazy or not. It doesn't matter if you know what I mean, you can hide whatever, but if you're wilding out acting all ratchet at the fundraiser, anyone watching this show, okay, all these women are just jacked. You know what I'm saying? Not like that, but I'm saying they got some real, you know, work to do because no one in their right mind would ever date any of these women on a serious level. I'm telling you all that straight up. I am a successful man. I'm a married man. I know what men look for in a wife. I'm telling you all straight up. You guys remember several years ago we did our show on What Chili Wants, one of the best shows we've ever done. Me and Morgan did that show, and it was a great show because it illustrated, you know, why she will most likely be single forever. You know what I'm saying? Why these men are not taking her seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like, that attitude and the way she conducted herself. Nobody wants to deal with that crap. You guys get all this, all these people say, well, dang, they don't, you know, how are you predicting, you know, these situations? Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey. What do y'all think? You watch, perfect example. Everybody's like, okay, look at, you know, Nick and Mariah. Oh, they seem so happy. But look at all the drama. You hear all these rumors of Mariah Carey's this diva. She has to have that. She has to have this. Look how she was going back and forth with Nicki Minaj. All that stuff. Nobody wants to deal with that because you got to realize if that's how you deal with those situations and I'm going to be the closest person to you in a marriage, in a relationship, I already know that's going to come back on me in some capacity. You know what I'm saying? It's, trust me. I'm waking up to you every morning. I'm going to feel that wrath. If Nicki Minaj feels the wrath from Mariah Carey, if her assistants and all that stuff feel the wrath, trust me, I'm going to feel it too. These men aren't going to stick around for that. You know what I mean? And I'm not blaming, I don't know what happened in their relationship. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? That's, you know, it's not going to work out. And I've never been wrong. You know, every person I've ever said that's not going to work out, you turn on your news and you see so-and-so is now filed for divorce. So-and-so has split. That's not a coincidence. You go back 10 years, every single couple, you know what I mean, we've discussed. And it's not, you know what I'm saying, you just got to look at the formula. If you're not a true man of God dealing with a 100% emotionally available woman, it ain't going to work out, period. So, I mean, that's basically how that goes. So now you look at, you know, back to Tamika, you know, and this is what a lot of women struggle with. You know, you got, you know, these possessions. You know, she was, you know, you watched the show and she was very hesitant to, you know, move out of the house. She was very reluctant to get rid of certain things that were a product of the marriage, of the, whether it was the house, the clothes, the jewelry. She just wanted to keep certain things. I mean, that's, ladies, I mean, you can't expect anyone to want to be with you. You can't start the healing process until you let it go. And I know it hurts. I'm not a cold-hearted bastard. I know it hurts. I've had tons of bad breakups. In fact, no breakup, you know, where you cared about that person, that person even cared about you in the slightest, none of that is ever going to be easy. That's an oxymoron. Breakups are never going to be easy, per se. But, you know, it's that's the whole point, is just diving right into it, dealing with the hurt, pain, and eventually it'll get better. But when you do things like avoid the hurt, you know, avoid dealing with certain things so that you don't feel the hurt, well, then it's never, it's like you have, you cut yourself. Well, what do you do when you cut yourself? Well, you better go get that hydrogen peroxide. You better go get the alcohol. You better pour right on there. Yeah, is it going to sting? Absolutely. But why does it sting? It stings because it's getting rid of the germs. It's starting the healing process. You put a Band-Aid on it, and it still hurts. But eventually, it feels better. And that's the thing. You know what I mean? That's what you got to do. But if you don't put the alcohol on it, hey, it's still going to hurt, and it's going to get more infected, and it, you know what I'm saying? It's going to continue. It's never going to get better. So that's what Tamika's doing. She's not putting the alcohol. Y'all get the analogy. You ever done that? You ever struggled to let go of certain possessions or you know what I'm saying? Certain things.
Clothes, presidents, pictures, stuff like that. It was a little difficult, but more so it was the memories, I think, and then holding on to that, which was the most hardest for me.
Why was that so hard?
Because I glamorized the situation, and instead of just dealing with it and, you know, knowing it for what it was, my mind didn't want to think about the pain. I didn't want to think about, you know, crying myself to sleep. I wanted to think about the quote-unquote good times and hold on to that just to help me get through it. It actually made things worse, to be honest, but, yeah.
See, here's the thing, you know, and I get that. That's what happens. And one of the things that the enemy will do is blind you. He'll cause you to forget the bad times and focus on the quote-unquote good times. But you really got to realize that at the end of the day, there are no good times. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I tell people through private counseling, and it really helps. Because when you think about it, like, use Ike and Tina, for example. You know, I mean, there are no, you could say, oh, okay, well, you know, Ike abused Tina. He beat her up, you know, in the limousine, and they had their fights, and he cheated on her and did all this stuff, emotionally and physically abused her, you know, but they also had some good times. Well, no, they never had any good times. You see, because how good can those times be if you're dealing with an abuser? It may have seemed good at the time, but it's not really good if you're dealing with a man who really doesn't care about you. You know what I mean? If a man doesn't really love you, if a man is using you, if a man is cheating on you, even though it may seem like you're having a good time, it's really not a good time. You know, it's actually the worst time. So, you know, the key to moving, one of the keys to moving on is just to acknowledge that, hey, look, you know what? It happened, but, I'm going to be okay. Going to be okay regardless. So there's that. What else about Tamika? Yeah, she just was holding on to those possessions, though, breaking down, crying. You know, it's funny also, too, man. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I don't know if y'all can relate. Courtney, you tell me what you think. A lot of women, You know, y'all get behind closed doors and you're holding on to these possessions. You're breaking down crying. But y'all sure act all tough in the midst of the argument, though, don't you? You know, to me, I turn on the TV. I'm seeing her on TV doing interviews, posting things. You know, they're back and forth in court. She got the ice grill on. They want to be all tough, but you know what I'm saying? Behind you're crying about you're not. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like I don't want to move on from the relationship. I'm having a hard time. What do you didn't? That's not what you told Usher when you had him in court. I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about, Corey. How come these women be acting all tough to the man's face, but then behind closed doors they be crying?
Because we want the men to think that we were able to move on as quickly as they were and that, you know, we're okay. Because if you notice, Usher moved on quickly. I mean, and she's the one that's still struggling, but she didn't want him to see that. So that guard was up.
That's what that is, and that's the key word there. It's that guard was up. You got to stop with the guard, ladies. If you're hurting, you got to just hurt. You know what I mean? You got to – it's okay. You got to let it run its course. Don't try to act all tough. Don't try to be mean. Don't try to put up this facade because that's just being fake. Because we know, you know, what it is. We know that you're hurting. You're not fooling us. You know – I mean, y'all know that, right? That anger is an emotion, whether it's any time when you can get that angry, you know, we already know you're crying behind closed doors. So you're not fooling us because that anger, that emotion just manifests itself in different ways at different times. If it's face-to-face, it's anger. If it's behind closed doors, it's definitely going to be tears. We're not stupid. So just be honest. Just be real. You don't have to put up a front. You don't have to put up a facade. If you're hurting, in fact, that's why, we're gonna talk about Neo's ex because I like that. You know what I'm saying? She's actually the only one on the show, and she's my favorite one on the show for a couple different reasons, which we'll talk about. But she's at least honest. Like, look, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sitting up here trying to be tough, Tony. You know, I'm upset. I love Neo. I did not want to break up with Neo. He broke my heart. I still want to be with Neo. I'm not ready to move on. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, that's at least being honest. You know what I'm saying? Don't front about it. If you want to be with him, yeah, he wanted to be with somebody else. Yeah, he wanted to be out there and be a whore. Okay, whatever. But don't sit there because of that, because you're hurt, try to act like, oh, no, I don't care about Neo. I don't care about that nigga. You know what I'm saying? His music is trash. He's ugly. Don't sit up there and try to play him. Keep it real. Be honest. Be honest with yourself at least. You see what I'm saying, Courtney?
Yeah, she was or is very honest. Very honest. She doesn't even want to move out the house. Like, she's her heart is still there.
which is a problem, obviously. But, you know, at least there's nothing, you can never go wrong with being honest. Now, let me just say this. Now, it's something about what Courtney said, and I hear this a lot from many women. I find myself often counseling women from this perspective about this issue, which is, well, why is it so easy for him to move forward and to move on from this relationship, you know, whereas I'm still struggling? Which I got to, in fact, you know, if you guys listen to our special from a few years ago on the emotions of men. Google that if you missed it. It was a couple years ago, but it will always remain a classic show and an informative show on, you know, the emotions, why we feel, what makes us cry, how do you get into our hearts, you know what I'm saying, like as opposed to us breaking up and us just being able to move on, you know, and not really care. See, what you got to realize is a lot of women erroneously think that it was easy for the man to move on. And what you don't realize is that it's not that it was easy for him to move on, it's that he was never there in the first place emotionally. And there's a big, just, a lot of women think that just because you got years with a man, just because you have several months, just because you quote unquote loved him, you know, don't think that he loved you. Because remember, love, you know, if you missed our special on the definition of love, you got to go back and look at, you know, what is actual love. Because if you're not being treated in a godly manner, in a loving manner, then that man is not in love with you, and you're actually not in love with him either. You don't have love because it ain't of God. You know what I'm saying? If it ended, as you guys know, you know from reading the Bible that love is never ending. Love is everlasting. So if you're talking about an ex, well, guess what that means, Courtney? It wasn't love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a soul tie, which we're going to be doing our 2014 version of soon. You know, and that's what a lot of people, men and women, confuse. They confuse love for soul ties. So what am I saying? I'm saying if you're single, guess what? You ain't never been in love. If you feel some type of way about your ex, you ain't never been in love, which is okay. There are a lot of 30-something women out here who ain't never been in love. That's okay. We can talk about that. We can help you get that. That's why those advertisements you see on Facebook, online, that's why people call the 800 number, 855-55-DATE-ON, because they actually know that deep down. It may hurt to admit that. But at the end of the day, that's why people reach out. It's like, look, I want love. I want something that I've never had. Well, guess what? You got to do something that you've never done. That's how you get love. But there's nothing wrong with that. That just means rejection is just God's form of protection. All right? You know what I'm saying? That's all that is. If you would have stayed with that guy, if he wouldn't have cheated, if he wouldn't have, you know, did you dirty, then guess what? You would have never met your husband. You know? If my wife's ex wouldn't have cheated on her or broke her heart or whatever, then guess what? You know, we wouldn't be here where we are now. So that's a blessing. So that's just you got to look at it. See, you got to look at it as your blessing is on its way. But the problem with it is, if that relationship with God is not where it needs to be, then you won't be able to have that faith. You know what I mean? You won't be able to have that faith that, okay, God is going to bless me with someone better, and then that's where the depression sets in. You know what I'm saying? Because you end up living life thinking that your best was behind you and that there's nothing better coming. Who would ever want to live in a world thinking with no light at the end of the tunnel? That's where you get the suicide. You know what I mean? Courtney, is that something you can relate to?
Yeah, I mean, everything you were saying, I was like, wow. Yeah, just feeling like just things, you know, weren't going to get better just based off of, you know, what was currently going on and not being able to see. Like, for example, just not being able to see what's ahead of you. It's like you feel like, oh, well, maybe this is it. And that's why a lot of women, they go back to their exes and they cling to their exes because they feel like that's the best that they're ever going to have. And so that's where faith comes in. It's just, you know, believing in things that you can't see. So, I mean, I can relate to that. Just the whole depression aspect of it, laying in the bed all day, you know, crying myself to sleep. I mean, I could just name, I could run off, you know, behaviors like that.
Right. And so when you have these, like we're talking about Tamika right now, so if you have those feelings of built-up animosity and anger and just, you know, the emotions of, you know, losing her son and, you know, Usher cheating, all that stuff, it's clear that she's going to still go out and pick little fights and be negative and, you know, talking about some, you know, no one should wear a white bra and this and that, just coming at the lady's neck for no reason. I'm just like, wow, I mean, why are you so negative? Like, that was unnecessary. But then, you know, and then she did apologize for that, you know, but still it's just like when you are happy with yourself, you're not going to be like Tori Hart. When you're happy with yourself, you're not going to be like Tamika Raymond. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be someone totally different. You're not going to be on a show called Atlanta Exes. You're not going to be crying yourself to sleep at night like Chili. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things just you're not going to have haunting you. You know, you got to just move forward. What else about Tamika? I mean, now, this lady, I mean, she's close to, like, 50. You know what I mean? I don't know her exact age, but how old is she, Courtney?
I don't know. I think she's, like, in her early 40s. I don't think she's close to 50, but, you know, you exaggerate ages. But
look, I mean, hey, I put it like this. One, she looks like she's about 50, but then two, and I'm almost sure she's at least 45. Do I need to Google? Do we need to do it together?
I would say she's 42, 43.
I'm going to say 44. Hold on, let me just, I know we're live on the radio. How old is Tamika Raymond? Let's just see.
And I think she's in her late 30s.
43.
Ah, okay. So.
Okay. What did you say? What did you just say? What did you say, 42?
I said 42, 43.
All right. So you're right. 43 years old. She does look like she's 50, though. But what I'll say about that, she does. She looks like she's about 70 years old. You know what I mean? So, seriously, she does not look like she's 43. I mean, so it is what it is. But, no, what I'm saying is, whatever the age is, she has children. And what I was looking at, you're too old to be acting the way you're acting. All these women are. The fights, the arguments. But then they went out going to the club, you know, and they were just kind of, just carrying on, twerking and, that is not sexy. That is not respectable. You know, at a certain age, you got to stop the twerking and start the line dancing.
Really? Did you say line dancing?
That's the natural transition. You know what I mean? I mean, y'all know how it goes. I mean, instead of doing, whatever the new dances are, you need to do the what's that line dance everybody does at the cookouts and the barbecues? You know what I'm talking about, Corey. I know you're young, but you ain't that young. What's that song?
The wobble.
Yeah, that crap. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta start at some point. You gotta make the switch. Some people, they hold on. You know what I mean? You gotta let it go. These guys out here, they still going to the clubs, partying with the 21 and over. Look, you're 37, you're 42. Like, you should not be there. Got to go to the old head spots now. You know what I mean? It's better. Put it like this: it's better to be the youngest person at the old people party than to be the oldest person at the young people party. All right? I'm just saying, man. Or just not go to those types of events at all. Yeah, but, you know what I'm saying? You do what you do. So that's all I'm saying, because, again, these are all things that men are going to, when it comes to love, they're going to be looking. They're going to be checking for you. What do you do? That's one of the things that I looked at when I met my wife. We're going to look at you. We're going to look at your job, what you do professionally and things like that. We're going to look at it. But at the end of the day, we want to know what you do on Friday nights. How do you spend your time? Who are your friends? What are they into? What's your family like? What's your Saturday nights like? What are you getting into this weekend? It's not, a lot of times, put it like this, there are two different questions that a man is going to ask you. I should say it's the same question, but with two different purposes. It's like, oh, what you doing Saturday night? See, a lot of women are just getting that question because the man is trying to smash. He wants to know, what are you doing Saturday night, so he can maybe see you after you get done or before you do it. You know what I'm saying? But when a man is truly interested in you, he's going to be asking you, what are you doing Saturday night? Because he actually wants to know for informational purposes. He wants to know if he can incorporate your Saturday night into his Saturday night, not just for that night, but for long term. Like, what's your pattern? Like, for example, when I met my wife, I mean, she was pretty much chilling. Like, I'm like, what you getting into this weekend? And that can mean so many different things. That can mean, that when you have time to go into all the things that's a very loaded question. But, what you getting into this weekend? If he's a man in the player stage and he's looking at you, like a piece of meat, that means he wants to smash. But with me, when I asked her, what are you getting into this weekend? It was, because I wanted to see her. I wanted to take her out. I wanted to spend some quality time. But also, I just wanted to get a sense, what's her life like? What's her patterns like? What's her behaviors like? you know, is this the type of situation that I even want to, you know, insert myself into? Trust me, ladies, these men are not stupid. They're looking for wives, bottom line. I can't wait to talk about CeeLo's ex because I got so much, I probably got the most to say about her. But, you know, these men are looking for wives. If a man is not actively, and I, you know, you've heard me say this, if he's not actively seeking a relationship with you and seeking to build a future with you, like definitively to the point where there's no question, trust me, ladies, he ain't into you. He's just trying to smash. You know what I mean? That's it. No, like there's. I hope. Like I want that to be clear because a lot of you guys are in these limbo type of situations. You're in these confusing situations. You're not sure. Listen, if he's not trying to wife you up, literally, he's trying to smash and nothing else. Can we? Is there any more clear way to say that, Courtney?
No, I feel like that's crystal clear.
I mean, that's it. You know, you should not be confused whatsoever. You know, if you are confused, then that's a problem. Look at me. I'm just talking. I'm not even looking at the switchboard. We got calls on the line waiting. I apologize. We'll take some calls tonight. I'm just, y'all know, I'll just talk. You know what I mean? We'll talk all night, man. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad. If you're just joining in tonight, we're talking about the ladies of the Atlanta exes, and just, you know, not trying to exploit them, not bashing them, but really at the end of the day, trying to use their situations to illustrate, the types of behaviors that are very, very common and detrimental in the black community, and specifically keeping us as a people from being able to build and maintain positive and successful relationships and long-lasting relationships. In fact, we did a two-night special on that very topic a couple years ago. If you Google, probably just that, actually, how to build and maintain a successful relationship on the Data on Tolbert show, that, you know, that should come up for you. Just listen to these shows, man. I cannot stress the importance of listening to every single show. You know what I mean? Like, these are, like, just imagine if you missed tonight's show, all the information you'd miss out on. You know what I mean? So just got to just, you know, take your time with it. They're not going anywhere, but, you know, make time. But, yeah, I see a call on the line from the 313 area code. Welcome to Keeping It Real Fridays on the Data on Tolbert show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. I just want to say I really enjoy your show. I just started back listening, so I kind of feel bad.
Don't feel bad. I'm a long time fan. That's what's up. It's good to have you. First of all, it's good to have you. It's good to have you back. What have you been up to since you haven't been? You've been getting into some trouble when you weren't listening, right?
Oh, my God, no.
No, keep it real.
I wouldn't really say that it's, like, super big trouble, but, I mean, yeah, I've been doing some things I haven't been having no business doing, but I have been, you know, focusing on work and school at the same time. But, yeah, I've been dating somebody, but it's not very serious or nothing like that. But, you know, I think I'm ready to cut it off. But I don't know. It's just, you know how sometimes, like, you're so busy with other things that are important, you don't really have time to, like, go out and meet different people. You kind of cling to what is, like, there.
Sure.
So that's the situation I'm in.
Tell me about it. I mean, why do you want to cut it off? What's he doing or not doing?
Well, I mean, I really like him. I'm not going to – let me not put it like that. I feel like I am, like, in love with him. However, I know that he's still in his player stage where he wants to have, like, more than one woman. I haven't caught him with any women, but I just know the signs and stuff that it points to me feeling like he has, like, other women.
I've been dealing with him.
I can't really recall how long it's been, but it's been maybe a little over a year, probably.
Let me ask you this. What's your Facebook status say? Is it single, in a relationship, or nothing at all? Nothing
single.
At all, right? Oh, it says single?
Well, it doesn't say anything at all.
Right, that's what I figured. Right, it doesn't say. What's his say? His says single?
His doesn't say anything either.
Right. I want you to, let me ask you a question. You listen to the show, you know probably what I'm about to say. If you think he's having sex with somebody else or dealing with him, that means he is. That means 100% he is. So the question is, and
well,
I think you know that deep down. So first of all, you said you love him. What has he done that's so great to bring out these emotions in you that makes you even want to deal with him on any level?
Well, I mean, I feel like he's shown me more than what I've been used to in the past, as far as, like, sometimes when you deal with guys, they're just so disrespectful nowadays, and, you know, all they look for is, I'm not saying all of them, but they're really sexual, very disrespectful, and even though I know that he's not faithful, it's a side of him that's, like, very respectful, very attentive. He has the qualities that I'm looking for in a male, with the exception of the infidelity.
Okay. I want to help you. I want to talk about this. I want to give you some advice. I want you to continue to listen in, but let everybody know where you're calling in from real quick.
I'm calling in from Detroit.
Detroit, Michigan. Let me just say this. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening. Please continue listening. And, you know, there's a reason why I was able to say, like, you've been, you know, like you said, you just started back listening, which I appreciate. But, you know, and everybody out there knows, if you ain't listening to this show on a Friday night, Saturday night, you probably out there doing some things that, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing. And like she said, you know, she's been dealing with a guy for about a year. Ladies, don't just deal with a guy for a year. You know what I mean? Be with a man who wants to be with you. You know, love a man who's in love with you. This man that this young woman just described clearly is I'm not even going to say cheating, because it ain't a relationship. You know what I'm saying? It ain't a relationship until he tells you, link up that profile on Facebook, because I want to show you to the world. I want everybody to see my pictures. When I go out on a date, when we have family time, you know, you see my family. You see what it is. You know, that's how it's going to be when a man loves you, when a man wants to be with you, when he's proud of being with you. But if he's, you know, nobody knows you're together, then you ain't together. Because when you're together, a man is going to want the world to know that you're together. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, and the most important thing really here, is, you know, the level of self-respect and self-esteem, you know, is just not there that needs to be. Because if you can say, hey, look, I know he cheats on me, you know, he has everything that I want except the fact that he has sex with other women, you there's no way you can view yourself, and I really care about you, really just for calling in and listening in and trusting us with your, you know, with what's going on. You know, I want the best for you, but you got to want the best for yourself, you know. And if a man is disrespecting you, you don't need to be wasting your time with him, okay? You know, you gotta want and deserve to have the best. You deserve someone who's gonna want you and only you. If you just say, if he's not in that ready to settle down stage, he's in that player stage, there's no possible way that that's gonna work out. And I get it. You said you know you want to break up with him, you know, but at the same time, you're just kind of busy and you're kind of comfortable. What you got to do is just be by yourself, because all you're doing right now is wasting your own time. Your life is, you know, you don't want to waste the best years. I can tell you, you're young. You've got the rest of your life. But, you know, you can cut him off and, you know, and move on and still have love and have a great life. But, you know, I know personally, and I work with many women personally, who wish they were in your at your age and had the ability to go back in time and to undo those same exact situations, and wish that they that 1 year didn't turn into 8 years. You know, don't keep dealing with this dude, and you know, invest more of your emotions, have a couple kids, get a couple STDs, like many, so many other women have done. You have an opportunity to listen to this show, get this information while you're still young, and apply it so you can really have everything that you really want. So hopefully just listen to this advice. You know, you're listening to the show on a Friday night for a reason. He's out somewhere else most likely with somebody. Don't waste any more time. Do what you called in to, you know, to say that you want to do, which is end it. And start the healing process. I'd like to offer you a free counseling session. Call me, inbox me, email me. We can set that up because there's no reason to allow this to continue going on any longer than it has to be, than it has to. Courtney, as a woman, what advice would you give to this young woman who's clearly, dealing with something and wants better for her life?
First, I do want to thank her for calling and sharing that with us. I heard a lot of myself, almost like verbatim, like the same feelings and emotions, just her point of view. That was how I thought at one point. Same situation. Thought he was the one because he was different from everyone else, because he was actually nice, and situations, they never end well. And, you know, if she continues with that, it will reach a climax, and I don't want anything unfortunate to happen to her. You know, I share my story all the time, and, you know, it ended up with me wilding out and contracting an STD, and from someone I thought, you know, was the one for me. And so I would tell her to honestly just walk away. Don't wait until you have proof that he's actually sleeping with other people. Just trust your gut, which is really the Holy Spirit, and just walk away. You don't need proof. Just walk away so you can start the healing process.
That's great advice. And probably one of the best things that you said was that don't wait until you have proof. A lot of women will wait for that smoking gun, but, you know, if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd really say probably only about 10% of men actually get caught cheating. You may think that it's higher, but it's actually a very, 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 very small percentage of men who actually get caught. You know, you have most men out here are liars, dogs, cheaters, and players. Be clear about that. And most of these men are cheating on you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. So if you're not dealing with, and that's where it goes back to what we've been talking about with the emotional availability, you will attract those types of men who not only will do those types of things, but will be good at those types of things, and then you won't actually catch them. That's why you end up wasting your life, and then the stuff hits the fan after 3 years, after 7 years. Don't wait that long. Just recognize it for what it is early, so you can walk away. Now, one thing that Courtney mentioned, actually the young woman mentioned that Courtney touched on, but I want to piggyback on, is that, you know, I use the McDonald's analogy all the time in my counseling. This is very important because what she just said is, I said, I've heard a lot of negative. I said, well, what do you like about them? You know, why do you love them? Why are you even dealing with them? She says, well, you know, he's different from what I used to have. So I always use this analogy, and forgive me if you've heard it a million times, but for the newer people, hopefully this will help. You know, it's like, Courtney, if you, you know, have only eaten at McDonald's your whole life, that's all you've ever had, their burgers, their nuggets, their fries, their milkshakes, McDonald's is going to be your favorite restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I say, Courtney, come on, I want to take you to Fridays. I'm going to take you to TGI Fridays. I want to give you the steak, the mac and cheese balls, the ribs, an actual good meal, have a little glass of wine or something. You know, after you have that great meal from Fridays, is McDonald's still going to be your favorite restaurant?
No.
Right. Of course not. In fact, if you've only eaten at McDonald's, Fridays is then going to become your new favorite restaurant. But, Courtney, is Fridays the best restaurant in the world?
No.
Of course not. Anyone in their right mind knows TGI Fridays is far from the best possible restaurant. So what if I say, Courtney, I want to take you out to Paris. I want to take you out to a $1,000 a plate restaurant, have the finest wine, limousine service, private jet. You know, that is now going to be your new favorite restaurant, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And certainly McDonald's won't be your favorite restaurant, and definitely not Fridays, but this new restaurant would be your new favorite because it's the best. Now, with this young woman, what she just illustrated was the fact that the guys from her past was the equivalent, her exes were the equivalent of the McDonald's guys. You know, they were cool for the time being, but at the end of the day, they were really doing her a lot of harm. Somebody came along who is the equivalent of Fridays, who was better than all those other guys, but at the end of the day, clearly, you know what I mean? We heard that clearly, not the best possible man, you know? But what she's never had was someone say, hey, look, I want to fly you out to Paris. She never had someone say, I want to give you the best possible man. And that's what happens. A lot of women are eating at Fridays because all they had was McDonald's. But what I do, what Courtney does, what Oshel does, is we help women prepare themselves to be flown out to Paris, so to speak. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. If you're sitting in Fridays, there's no way you can be flown out to Paris. You got to sit at home. You know what I mean? You got to chill to allow yourself to get that invitation. If you're dealing, as long as this young woman is dealing with this guy, as long as she's still comparing him to her exes, she ain't never going to be introduced to the best possible man. So you got to start the process first. A lot of women are hoping to, you know, even this is what the Atlanta exes are doing. They're hoping to just have a seamless transition to their future man without having really fully let go of, you know, their past guy. And that'll never work. It'll never have a positive result. So hopefully, you know, use this show, and we're far from done, but use the, you know, this show, Atlanta X's, use this young woman's story, use Courtney's countless stories, use your sisters over in the Each Woman Foundation group on Facebook, you know, which now has over 1,000 women from around the world all dealing with the same exact issues. Many have healed from the issues and are able to give that helping hand. It's an international support system I started about 5 years ago. You know, if you don't want to call into the show, if you don't want to be in the Friends of the Date on Tolbert show group, you just feel more comfortable around all women, add yourselves there or inbox Courtney and she'll send you a link and add you to the group, you know, and you can just interact with you know, just your sisters. But that's what, whatever you do, you want to set up counseling, whatever you want to do, you know, do something so you don't have to continue, you know, dealing with less than you want or deserve. You know, but again, thank you for calling in and sharing that story, and hopefully it'll give somebody the motivation to walk away from their situation. But you may say, a lot of people discount, you know, the importance of Facebook. They'll say, oh, it's just Facebook. No, Facebook is very important. You know, be clear. If he ain't claiming you on Facebook, he ain't claiming you. You know what I mean? If he ain't posting your pictures, if you ain't getting tagged, if your pages aren't linked, if your page doesn't say anything, I promise you, it may not seem like it, but I promise you, he's having sex with other women. I promise you, he's not viewing you the way you think he is or the way you want him to. Trust me on that. I don't care. It doesn't have to say single. I'm saying if it doesn't say anything, that means he's okay with being incognito and being able to just kind of fly below the radar and do what he wants to do, talk to who he wants to do without having to answer any questions. Oh, I thought you got a girlfriend. Nah, what are you talking about? My page don't say nothing. Where you see a girlfriend at? These guys are very good at that. So you got to be smart, ladies. All right? Now, but back to, but yeah, like I said, you know, we'll take more calls if you, you know, if you have them, more comments, more questions, whatever. You know, we're here all night. You guys know how we do on Fridays. But yeah, so that's enough about Tamika Raymond. Definitely still, you know, dealing with some, you know, dealing with some things. Now, real quick, I was going to mention to you about interesting fact about Tracy, who you guys saw on Love and Hip Hop, who was dealing with the dude, DJ Drew, whatever his name is. you know, she has a, you know, the funny thing, I don't know if y'all know, she was kicked off the show. She got kicked off Love & Hip Hop, and she, I was even watching an interview with her, and they asked her, they said, well, you know, why were you, you know, why aren't you back on the show? And she said, hey, I would have liked to have been invited back, but they said that I didn't bring enough drama. So you could tell she felt some type of way about it. So what do you see on the first episode from her? You know what I mean? On this new show, she got a second chance. Now what she wants to do, she wants to bring the drama. Did you peep that?
Yeah. Was ready to fight, Tamika.
Yeah, she said it. She said it straight up. I watched the interview. She was like, yeah, they kicked me off because I didn't have any drama. Well, she wants a career in the entertainment industry, so what's she going to do? This a lot. See, a lot of people will say, I don't like reality shows because it's fake and this and that. See, that's the aspect of it that's fake. It's not that it's fake, but it's scripted, it's planned. It's like, okay, I'm going to turn up. I'm going to wild out here. You know what I mean? Because I want to be invited back to the next season. So, but the situations, the emotions are real. Those tears are real. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, they put them in certain situations where they know there's going to be drama, of course. But don't allow that stuff to make you think that, you know, the actual emotions behind this stuff is, you know, is manufactured in any way. You know, those are real tears. You know, it's kind of hard to fake tears like that. Their tears are the same as your tears. Now, if your tears are fake, then their tears are fake. But trust me, listen, I counsel, you know, the Tamika Raymonds. That's why I'm so interested in this show, because a lot of these women I talk to every single day. You know, Neo's ex, you know, all these, this is what I do. You know what I mean? This is what I do, and especially those, you know, around that age. You guys know, I mean, that's what I do for a living. My 9-to-5 is filled with speaking to, you know, women 42, 37, 38, you know, 45. It's actually very few younger women that I work with. So it's usually women who have been divorced and are looking for a new start, looking to heal from a, you know, a 10-year marriage or whatever. And that's okay. Reach out, you know, because we can definitely start that process. Now, so let's move on, though. Let's move on to CeeLo Green's ex. What's her name, Courtney? I don't remember.
Christina.
All right. Now, Christina is a very interesting. Now, she's one of these women. Now, like, Tori Hart, just a horrible attitude. You know what I mean? She's just like a negative person. You know what I mean? Clearly. But, you know, Tamika, you know, I'm not 100%. Like, the jury's still out on her. But I don't have as much of a problem with Christina's attitude. Do you?
No. Mm-mm.
You know, like, see, emotional unavailability manifests itself in a number of different ways. Some women, like I said, Tori Hart, Evelyn, Chrissy, you know, these women, you know, like, but then again, Kim Kardashian, you know, she's not known for having a horrible attitude, but yet she's one of the most emotionally unavailable women on the face of the planet. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of how it manifests itself. It's just, you know, however it manifests itself, you got to deal with it. You know, this young woman, Christina, seems to be a pretty cool young woman. Doesn't seem to have a bad personality, you know. But at the end of the day, she's still dealing with CeeLo. Now let's just look at this. I took some good notes here when I was watching the show. Some very interesting points. First, she's dealing with this guy. You know, and this guy actually says he's flirting with her and, you know, being sexual with her. They're just saying all types of stuff. And he said he wishes polygamy was legal. She's like, well, look, you got somebody. I want to have somebody too. So he's dealing with somebody and knowing darn well if he said, hey, look, I want to hit that real quick, she would let him. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, clearly, you know, like, she's sitting up there lusting after. I mean, first of all, in the opening scene, she's like, yeah, my name is Christina, and I'm the ex-wife of the sexy CeeLo.
I peeped that too.
I was like, what? And I'm not hating on Seal. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, what? Because I just couldn't, I mean, the level of emotional unavailability was just like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. You know, like, how do you, and this is someone who's still, like, who's interested in dating, who wants to get back out on the market. I mean, I'm just asking from a logical standpoint. You guys, I mean, you guys, I mean, I know I'm doing the show, but you guys can't help but to see how ridiculous that would be for a man watching that show to say, wow, okay, you're clearly still in love with your ex. You still clearly are letting him smash. You know what I mean? Let's be clear. You find, you're talking about how sexy he is, but I'm going to start something new with you? I'm going to wife you up? I'm just saying, like, would any man in their right mind do that? I mean, of course not. Of course not. Now, would a man who wants to smash, would he go through the motions and act like he would take her seriously? Oh, of course. See, here's the thing. Going back to the young woman who called in, what you got to realize, ladies, is that these men, okay, can still be bastards, and in most cases are bastards. They, you can, and I was just telling somebody this yesterday in the counseling session, you can be a bastard, but be a nice bastard. You don't have to be overly aggressive or disrespectful or super sexual like a lot of these losers are. They don't, you know, they tip their hand and make it known what their intentions are from the door. Yeah, those are the bastards of the world. But equally are the bastards that, you know, give you these compliments and take you out and talk to you on the phone. But at the end of the day, the goal is the same. They still want to smash. And once they smash and get into that rhythm, then they end up looking at you in the same exact way. Really, they're looking at you in the same exact way from the door. They're just going about getting it in a different manner. Some men are blunt and to the point. Other men beat around the bush. It's all the same. Remember, there are only two categories. Either he views you as a wife or as, you know, a potential sex partner. That's it. So either you're going to go into one of the two. You know, how he treats you, you know, in, the, you know, in those two categories is going to be up to him. But either way, he's going to be a bastard if he's trying to smash. Just might be a nice bastard. You ever, Courtney, you ever dealt with some nice bastards?
I sure have. And I thought they were like the, you know, sweethearts, just very romantic and all that stuff. But they wanted to smash. The intention was still the same.
Right. The intention is still the same. So a lot of women are comparing the nice bastards to the blatant bastards. But there's no reason to. So, oh, wow, at least, you know, yeah, I gave him some, you know, but at least he took me out first. Well, what difference does that make? You know, who cares if he took you out? He still smashed that, and he only wanted to smash. As opposed to someone else who said, look, you know, let me just smash. Why don't you come over? It's the same thing. You know what I mean? It's just some guys are smart. You know? And I'll tell you, me, it's Keeping It Real Fridays. I was a bastard, but I was a nice bastard. I wouldn't have sex with them and try to jump their bones on the first night. I'd wait for the second night. I give him a kiss on the cheek and a handshake and be like, all right, well, look, it was good seeing you tonight. You know what I'm saying? You have a good night. You know, give me a call sometime. You know, oh, my God, what? I'm sitting up here with my boobs out and, you know, thinking he's going to try to jump my bones. I'm prepared to give him something tonight. And he didn't even touch me. I can't even get a hug, a grind, something. He texting me, oh, dang. Oh, you're such a gentleman tonight. Oh, okay, yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I had a good time. All right, look, I'm going to talk to you another time, all right? Boom. They at that point, they're like hitting me up, blowing me up. Oh, well, when am I going to see you again? Oh, well, what you doing tomorrow? Well, I was smashed the second night. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't, just because I didn't, you know, attack them after the first date, like most of these losers, you know, and I waited for them to hit me up the next night, used the reverse psychology, does that make me less of a bastard than that other guy, Courtney?
No.
Of course not. Wait a minute. You call me a bastard?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I am. A nice bastard.
But I was a bastard. That's what I'm saying. I was. You know, so don't, that's very important. Don't let, you know, the nice guys make you think that there's something special about them just because they try to get you into bed a different way than the other guys. It's all the same. So this is the foundation for what I want to say about Christina here, because this guy is saying, look, I wish polygamy was legal. So all he's basically saying is, look, I wish I could have sex with my wife or whoever I'm dealing with now and have you as my jump off. That's basically, and she's laughing and joking. Ladies, you got to understand, you know, that's not a compliment. If somebody wants you to be his jump off, his mistress, his side chick, he's viewing you as a hoe. That's the worst possible way a man can view a woman, is the, being the woman on the side. Okay? That's not a compliment. So CeeLo is, everybody's saying, oh, man, you know, CeeLo was being nice to her. Nah, he's disrespecting her. He's playing her. He, CeeLo, what he wants to do, you notice how he was not excited about the fact or the idea of her starting the date. He was like, well, look, I'm paying you all this money. I got you set up. I'm, you know, doing this and that, buying you clothes and financing. He's like, so wait, I'm paying for you to go on a date with another guy? He ain't feeling that. So he's going to shut all that down. And what a lot of guys do is they use their manipulation techniques to, keep the woman, you know, in the crib, you know, hung up on them emotionally, give them just enough to keep them, you know, wrapped around their little finger, you know, and then they go out and do whatever they do, but the woman never moves on. Kind of like, I mean, really all these men except a couple of them are doing that. You know, that's what Neo is doing with the, you know, with his ex. That's what CeeLo's doing. And that's what most of these men do. Half y'all baby moms. That's what, the, you know, your baby's father is doing. They pop up just enough to get, you know what I'm saying, to keep you, you know, give you a little sex and, you know, make their presence known, and inspect the crib, make sure there's no other dudes around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all a control tactic. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The reason he pops up is just to make sure his presence is felt, you know, keep these other guys away. So what ends up happening is while y'all aren't together, he's out there having sex with other women, getting in and out of relationships, doing what he does. Meanwhile, you're basically just, quote-unquote, dealing with him. And it's, you know what I'm saying, it's a big mess. So, you know, you just got to walk, just remove yourself from the equation. Because remember, these men, you know, will keep these situations going on forever. Neo will keep that woman there forever, just like that. You know, CeeLo will keep his ex there forever, just like that. You know, all these women who are being strung along, you know, these men are perfectly okay with that. But meanwhile, the women are the ones getting older and older and older and more emotionally drained. You know, you know, just walk away. So that's how that goes. I mean, I've done that myself. I've had many women, you know, put their whole life on hold just for the thought, the possibility that something might have happened. Maybe I'll come to my senses. Maybe I'll, you know, change my mind. Maybe I'll graduate from the player stage to the ready to settle down stage and, you know, all of a sudden decide that you actually, I do have a good thing and, you know, you are the woman of my dreams. It sounds good, but ladies, that's not how it works. That will never happen. It never, ever happens. A man who viewed you as in a sexual way will always only view you in a sexual way. A man will never, I'm telling you, never. You know, don't say, well, no, well, I know about so-and-so. No, it will never happen. Trust me on that. You end up like Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon 7-8 years later. Trust, it'll happen. Just, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, you know, the breakup will come. You know what I'm saying? You want to know about it early rather than later. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If you started out just sex buddies with somebody, that will never, ever develop into love. Okay? Trust me on that. Just trust me. You can debate. You can try to be the exception if you want to, but it will never happen. Okay? What are your thoughts on that? Did you ever used to think that could actually happen? Did you try to be the exception?
Yeah, because I thought I was different. even though I was giving him sex, I was like, well, you know, something will come out of it and he'll view me differently, and, you know, and it never worked out. Like you said, I was always viewed that way.
Right. That's basically how it goes. That's how it goes. All right, so there's that. So now this is about to get good, because there's a lot of important information in regards to Christina. Now, she was probably the most vocal. I mean, she even specifically said, yeah, I'm still in love with CeeLo. Yeah, I still want to be back with him, but since he's out there doing his thing, you know, I got to kind of move on with my life. I mean, just that alone. What, I'm just asking, like, who would deal with her? Who would say, oh, okay, cool. Oh, you still in love with CeeLo? Well, all right, let me try to compete with him. He's only about 5 feet tall, so I could probably take her from him. No, nobody is going to try to take you from anybody. If you're in love with somebody, that man's like, oh, he can have you. I have your body. He can have your heart. You know what I mean? That's all it is. Nobody is going to give you their heart or trying to have love with somebody who's clearly still in love with somebody else. That would be ludicrous. That would just be stupid. You know, nobody would do that. They may act like they're doing it, all right? And I'm going to tell you a great example of why I say that. So, but now she goes on saying that, you know, she wants to date. She wants to get out here. She wants to try. See, and I hear that a lot. Ladies, you got to understand something. You don't control when you date and when you don't date. Okay, and what I mean by that is, like, I hear a lot of women saying, well, yeah, I want to get back out there. You know, I want to start dating again. I want to meet somebody. Ladies, that's all these things, these are not things for you to do. You do not just go out and say, I'm just going to date. I'm going to start. I'm thinking about starting dating. What does that mean? What are you going to do? You're going to go hop online and just give your number out to people, or put yourself in situations where men, you know, ask for your number and then you just start dating them? That is you taking on the role of a man. That is you taking God out of the equation and you becoming the hunter. That's not how it works. The way that dating works, and if you want success, is for you to say, okay, I am going to focus 100% on God and my calling and my ministry and just getting closer to him. God already knows your heart. God already knows what you want. God already knows you want love. God already knows you want a date. So the way that you get that, you don't have to get online. You don't got to put yourself back out there or any of these things. All you have to do is focus on him, and then he will give you the desires of your heart. Does that sound familiar? You know what I'm saying? That's how that works. But a lot of people she is a great example, someone who's not focusing on God. She's focusing on love. She's focusing on men. She's focusing on dating. And so she's going to date, as you see on the show, but when you take God out of it, the chances of that situation working out are zero. There is no chance. It's just 0% of that working out. What's your thoughts on that, Gordon?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It never does work out as long as you are in that emotionally unavailable state and you're not putting God first. And you see what happened with the guy she went out with. Do you remember? Like the type of guy, what his situation was.
Oh, we're gonna talk about that.
Okay, I don't want to go too far, but yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, trust me, I'm just building up, because this is very important. This is very important. Okay, now, like I said, CeeLo, this guy is supporting her financially. He picks out her clothes. He does all this stuff. He flirts with her, and most likely has sex with her. He goes to her and tells her, she goes to him and tells him she wants to start dating. In fact, she says she has a blind date, all right? This is where things go downhill, what started out all bad anyway. But she goes out on this date. She's already expecting him to be, you know, already has negative thoughts, which is emotional unavailability, you know, to begin with, because she's already comparing him to past failed situations. But then she says, you know, she was pleasantly surprised and, you know, talks about how tall he was and this and that. Now, one of the things that I found interesting, and this is where me and Steve Harvey disagree on, you know, fundamentally, you know, he believes that there are about, you know, 5 to 10 questions you should ask every man on a first date, which to me is absolutely ridiculous, you know, and which is exactly what you saw this young woman doing with this man. A lot of women, ladies, you got to stop interviewing these men. You know what I mean? That's not – you can't interview these guys. Stop asking these men these questions. If you want to go out on a date, you want to have a conversation, you want to talk, you want to get to know me, all right, that's cool. Let's get to know each other. But don't interview me, okay? I am not being interviewed by you. I am not applying for a job. You – I don't have to prove anything to you. You know what I mean? Like, you look at Chili and you look at all this stuff. These women, a lot of them, based on their whatever, feel like these men have something to prove to them. These men are not, and the ratio is in our favor. Why would these men feel obligated to prove anything to these women? Like, oh my God, you're this great catch. No, that's not how it works. Okay? So she's asking him all these questions, you know, and he's trying, you can even tell, he's trying to say the right things to impress her. I wanted to look at this man like, yo, what the heck are you doing? First of all, she's nobody that you should even be worried about impressing. Secondly, like, you know, it's not an interview. You know what I'm saying? She can't give you anything other than what's between her legs. I mean, you see, can you guys picture me going out on a first date with somebody and them asking me all these questions and me trying to, you know, tailor my answers to impress them and tell them, like, what she wanted to, I mean, can anyone even remotely imagine that? I mean, think about it. I mean, Courtney, you know me. Can you see that?
No, I feel like if that happened, well, first of all, you wouldn't even be on a date with a woman that would do that. But I'm just saying, if you were, you'd probably just get up and leave. I don't see you entertaining it after that. Be honest.
Right. That's the thing about it. So, you know, I mean, but that's not to say you can't go out on a first date and have a really nice time and get to know a lot about somebody. But you don't have to interrogate him to get that information. That's all I'm saying. And that's what she was doing, and he was playing right along. Now, this is what we got to talk about. The question then becomes, are you it's like, all right, well, Daydon, you know, you're saying you wouldn't do that, and obviously you wouldn't be feeling a woman who would you know, conduct themselves in that way, in that manner. So, you know, why was he doing that? Why would any man do that? Why did he stay there? Why did he tailor his answers? The reason for that, Courtney, is what? I'll let you do it.
Because he wants sex. I'm sorry, I didn't even let you finish, because I'm sorry. It's obvious.
That's it. He just wants sex. And the difference between me and, you know, guys like me and, you know, men like that is that some men allow sex to be the driving force for how they conduct themselves, you know, in those types of situations. Like Courtney said, I wouldn't even stay there. I wouldn't even put myself, like, the sex – women would try that, and I guess they would come out with these outfits on and think that because of somebody else acting a certain way when they saw a pair of boobs that I would be the same way. Like, oh, my God, she has breasts. Oh, my goodness, wow. So let me just, you know, go crazy and, you know, I am now at your mercy. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a big butt. Oh, you know I mean? Like, whoop-de-doo. You know what I'm saying? Ladies, you got to stop it. You know, everybody has breasts. Everybody nowadays has a big butt. You know, even these white girls have big butts now. It's like, yo, it's not a big deal. You know, these men know that. Okay? So you can't use your physical attributes to interrogate men, you know, basically making them say and do whatever you want them to. You can't do that nowadays. It doesn't work. And the men who do go along with it are doing so solely. They're not really going along with it. They're just going through the motions so they can smash. That's it. That's what this guy was doing. Now, what do we always say? What's the foundation? We always say that anytime you're in any form of an emotionally unavailable state, you're only going to attract the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, and the players. Well, what do we have here? Right? I mean, clearly, You know, I mean, do you see, you guys see what I'm talking about when I say, you guys have heard me say that for years, but what better example do we than what we see here? I mean, clearly emotionally unavailable, blatantly tells you, I'm still in love with CeeLo. I want to be back with CeeLo, the sexy CeeLo, right? That's where she's at with it. So what kind of guy does she attract, Courtney?
Married man, player. Well, separated.
This guy is separated. You know, when we all know what that's about, you know what I mean? Like, married man who is basically looking to smash. That's it. I just can't wait to see how that turns out. You know what I mean? Like, clearly. Now, that's the funny thing. That's not even the funniest thing, but the funniest thing about it, I'm about to tell you. But that's what happens. When you're emotionally unavailable, you attract guys like that. The liars, the dogs, the cheaters, and the players. Now, you guys hear me talk about this all the time. A lot of women, they're talking down to these men. They think they have some type of power over these men. You know, they have that guard up. They have the wall up. So what does she do? And now he was like, well, look, she was like, are you asking me out on a second date? And some, you know, got that whole sarcastic thing going on, that whole attitude, whatever, you know, that whole thing going, and that men absolutely hate. He's like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm asking you out on a date. She's like, oh, okay, well, let me think about it. did you catch that?
Yeah. No, good enough, yeah. She wanted to.
Right. Ladies, you got to stop that stupid stuff. You know what I mean? You got to stop it. You cannot talk to these men like you're doing him a favor by him taking you. That guy, he spent money on you. He spent his time with you. You know what I'm saying? You can't make him feel like, well, you agreeing to go out is somehow benefiting, you know, him. You can't do that. You got to express a mutual interest. Okay? That is what these men want. She's like, well, let me think about it. You know, knowing darn well she wanted to go back out with him. Knowing darn well she went back and told all her girlfriends how nice he was and how fine he was. But she didn't want to let him know. That is called a game. We did a classic show. We did many shows on this. Most recently, Sex Games. Remember that show, guys? We did a show on Sex Games, games being played in and out of the bedroom. All-time classic show, talking about just those, you know, the games surrounding sex. We talked about first date mistakes, just, you know, that a lot are often very commonly made on, you know, when dating. But that whole, you know, I'm better than you, or you got to prove something to me, and let me think about it, and I'll give you a chance, maybe I'll give you a shot, like you dating him is doing him a favor. This guy probably deals with women who are certified dimes. You know what I'm saying? Certified dimes, like, just, she's none of that, like, not even on, you see what I'm saying, not even on that level, although I'm not even talking about looks, but even if we were talking about looks, she's not even on that, you know what I mean? So let's just be honest about it. That man is not worried about her. Trust and believe that. So for her to have that false sense of pride, that false sense of security, thinking that she has some type of power over him, it's just ludicrous. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. I mean, they're down in Atlanta, for God's sakes. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, all the women down there, the ratio being what it is, these men are not worried about one woman. Okay? So there's that. She's doing that whole thing. But then she asked probably one of the worst questions that a woman could ask a man. She asked him, so, and this was later on, she said, so, where do you see this going? Now, hold on. This was the same woman who was talking about something, let me think about it. You know what I mean? Talking about something, oh, okay, let me, maybe, you know, maybe I'll get, like, now she's talking about something, oh, well, where do you see this going? Did you notice that, Courtney?
Yeah, I did. I thought that was funny.
Just comical. Just craziness. Talking about something, where do you see this going? Now, let me just ask you a question, ladies. A lot of women, they ask those types of questions with the assumption that these men are going to be honest with them, which really baffles my soul, because I just don't understand it. You know what I mean? It's like I'm on a job interview, and I know I need a job. I want to get hired, and so they say, "Hey, so are you okay with working a little overtime?" Oh yeah, sure, absolutely, sir. Yeah, I mean, I come in early. I want to stay late. Now, does that mean, Courtney, that I want to work overtime if I get hired at that new job?
No, it doesn't. People say that all the time, and they don't want to do it.
Of course not. They're going to ask that just to see. And really, my answer to that question is going to most likely determine whether or not I get the job. So it would behoove me to answer the question, you know, in a favorable manner. So, of course, I'm going to say, oh, yeah, I'll work overtime. That's not a problem. No, sure. That's not an issue at all. You know what I mean? Okay, good. I would be an idiot to say anything else. So let's just say hypothetically this guy just wanted to smash. Let's just say he liked her booty. He Googled her and was like, dang, she got a nice little body. So let me try to smash. Let's just say that's his intention. So when she says, you know, so where do you see this going? What man in his right mind would say, well, actually, I actually just want to smash. I mean, I'm actually feeling your body. You know, I'm feeling your whole vibe. I probably just want to hit it, you know, a couple good times, then probably never call you again. Would any man in his right mind who actually has that intention, you know, would anyone say that, Courtney?
No.
I mean, of course not. No one would say that. So what's the point of asking that question as if you're going to get an actual, you know, right answer? Now, here's the funny thing. The answer that I just gave that was really going through his mind is can very easily be translated into really what he said. Because she said, you know, where do you see this going? And what he said, well, look, you know, I'm basically the type of guy who likes to take things day by day. I like to take things one day at a time. That is a crock of crap. Okay, and ironically, those are the same types of answers that I would give, you know, back when I was in my player stage. That's the perfect player answer, because what it does is it leaves the door open to possibly having something serious down the line, although we all know that that would never happen. But in her mind, it, you know, she's getting an answer that it's not the answer she wants, but it's an answer that's not what she wants, you know, if that makes sense. You know, and it allows him to still get what he wants, which is the sex. Because think about it, technically, if you're taking things day by day and kind of going with the flow, that could mean we could be friends with benefits. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's the perfect answer because, again, it didn't turn her off and it gave her hope for the future, but it also didn't shoot down what he's looking to do, which is ultimately get the sex. Now, ask me. Well, first of all, my wife never would have asked me any type of ridiculous question like that. But if she did, I wouldn't have said anything like that. I would have been honest, like, look, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to build something with you. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to wife you up. And this is, in fact, this is what I want to do. Okay? I mean, this is what I'm going to do. And then we would have, you know, built a plan on making that happen. That's what real men do. That's what a man does when he's, you know, when he wants to be in love with you, when he wants a future with you. He's not okay with taking things day by day. He's going to want to build something. And, in fact, any man will tell you that if he's feeling you. He's like, look, I'm trying to build something with you. I see something in you special. Okay? Nobody wants to take things day by day. What does that even mean? That was a crock. Okay? So that is a key, and those are the types of things that, you know, hopefully you guys are learning to pick up on from listening to this show, from doing private counseling, you know, dating coaching and things like that. You know, these little, it may seem minor, but it's not minor at all. You know what I mean? It's actually major. So, as soon as we hear you with that guard up, we sense that guard, you're talking about something, let me think about it, or you know, any of this other little stuff, we can tell you got trust issues and you're still dealing with your ex and all that stuff. That's when we say, all right, well, look, that's cool. Well, let's just take it day by day. Let's just take things slow, see where it goes. That's cool. You know, what that means is, all right, next weekend I'll hit that. I'll take you out again. I'll go back to your crib or you'll come over to my crib and we'll have some good sex and, we'll take it day by day. That's how that goes. you show yourself to be emotionally unavailable, he's going to, you know, put that bullseye right on your backside. I mean, it's not right, but I'm just saying that's what happens. A lot of women are being targeted for sex. A lot of women have a man in their life who only wants to smash, and they're not really understanding, what the heck is the problem? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why is every guy I attract only trying to hit it? Well, hopefully listening to this show will explain that. It's not justifying it, but hopefully it will at least explain it so you know why, and you can work on changing the vibe that's being projected forth, you know, and then attract a different type of guy. Now this is the biggest problem, or one of the biggest problems here is that she told him, the problem is that she feels this way. You know, when she said, "I'm just really afraid of commitment." So the fact that you have that state of mind, that state of being afraid of commitment, that one means that you're not trusting God. Two, it means you're afraid of being hurt the way somebody else hurt you, which means you're not over that person. So those two things combined are really problematic. Okay? So that's a problem in and of itself. But then she went as far as to actually tell him that. You know what I mean? She told him, I'm really afraid of commitment. Well, then what does that mean? Well, that means, okay, so you're still hurt over your ex. You know what I'm saying? You're basically comparing me to what happened to you in the past. Why would any man in their right mind continue dealing with a woman who just did that? You know what I'm saying? Nobody, he's not, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully you guys see that, but he's not taking her seriously. Now, here's the problem. Here's the biggest, now this is where everything manifests itself. Think about this. Let's just think about this from a logical standpoint. Courtney, when she was talking to her friends and she was saying, you know, she had an operation or whatever and she can't have kids. So she was like, you know, I'm just really kind of nervous because this could be a deal breaker. This is a deal breaker for many men. And for many men, it is a deal breaker. I'll be honest with you. Again, they want to have kids. They want, you know, kids of their own. I'm not saying it's necessarily a deal breaker, but I'm just saying for many men, it is a deal breaker because that's what they want. And so, you know, she asked him, she was like, so do you want children? And he was like, yeah, I definitely want kids. She's like, okay, because only thing is, you know, I can't have children. You know, is that a problem for you? You know what I mean? He starts laughing. Did you notice he started laughing, Courtney?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Here's the funny thing about it. I'm laughing now because as he was laughing, I was laughing as well. My wife is looking at it. She's like, what's so funny? And me and the guy are laughing at the same exact time because I'm almost 100% positive we're thinking the same thing. The fact that the joke is, what's funny is that this woman is thinking about kids and a future and marriage, and this dude is thinking in his mind, yo, I just want some sex. He's like, I'm not even thinking about kids. This chick is thinking about long-term marriage, and he's thinking about just getting some booty at the end of the night. You guys see that? That's why, go back and watch it. That's a serious thing. Think about it. She's talking about kids and not being able to have them and him wanting kids and that being an issue for them maybe possibly moving forward, and this dude is laughing. What's funny about that? You know what I mean? Courtney, if you told a man that and you asked him how would he feel about the fact that you can't have kids, would you expect him to start laughing?
No.
You know what I'm saying? But the funny thing is I was laughing because I know exactly why he was laughing. And every man watching knows why he was laughing. Because no one would be taking – he's not even remotely thinking about that. That's the only thing. And be honest. I know nobody wants to look at it like this, but honestly, think about it. If a man wants kids, if he knows he wants kids, and he's just said, I want kids, but then a woman tells a man, well, okay, I can't have kids. I'm just saying, in most cases, would that man continue dealing with that woman?
No.
I mean, I know it's an uncomfortable thing to think about because everyone would like to say, like, oh, you know, well, if he really likes her and if he da-da-da-da, he should, you know, they could adopt kids. Look, guess what? This is keeping it real Fridays. It's gonna be a deal breaker, and I'm not gonna say a deal breaker per se, but he's probably just gonna move on. He's gonna explore his options. You know what I mean? It's just the first date. There's no time invested. There's just no reason. You know what I'm saying? I know I wanted a couple kids. So if I just met somebody, now if I have a wife or I'm dealing with you for a year and then we're trying to have kids, like Waka Flocka and the chicken, it turns out like, all right, well, you know, we can't have kids. All right, well, I already love you. I'm already with you. All right, we can look into other options. But on the first date you tell me that and I know I want kids and that's something that's important to me, I'm not going to keep dating you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. And most guys, that's why it was funny. One, that she would even think that he would continue dealing with her. And two, like, he's not even thinking about that. So look at all of these situations added up and just apply that, if possible, to your life. And just understand that, you know, that is what you will attract, these types of crazy situations, as long as you're trying to date, while you're clearly still emotionally connected to someone from your past. Now, mind you, this CeeLo guy, I just heard today, this guy pled guilty to trying to slip somebody ecstasy in their drink. A random woman tried to slip her ecstasy. This dude just pled guilty to that. Like, who does that? This guy tried, I mean, why would you? I've had a lot of sex in my life. You know, I've never done any type of drugs, never tried to drug anyone, never had to use any type of Rohypnol, you know what I'm saying, ecstasy, Viagra, none of that craziness. You know, like, what the heck is going on out here? You know, that's the type of man that this woman is so attracted to. He's not worried about her. She's talking about, I'm in love with him. He's drugging women, trying to rape them, you know what I mean, for sex. This is crazy stuff right here, man. But I'm not making this up. That actually happened. That happened today. Today, CeeLo pled guilty for trying to, you know, he was brought up on charges, and he pled guilty. So he may have to do some jail time. So that's, man, we talk about non-elite men, you know, men not of God. I mean, I think CeeLo will be right there at the top of the list. Okay. Man, that's crazy. Did you hear about that, Courtney?
No, I didn't. But that's, like, absolutely ridiculous, that whole thing. And, I mean, we already know he's not a man of God. We've seen pictures of him in dresses and, you know, the outlandish things he does. I mean, do we need to go down the list? I mean, that's crazy. He wasn't really hard-pressed for sex. Like, that's...
Well, Courtney, wow. I mean, look at him. I mean, he's CeeLo. Look at him.
Well, he's sexy. I mean, apparently he's sexy. So, I mean, according to Christina, so, hey.
These shows are just getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Well, I shouldn't say crazier, but they're just getting realer and realer and realer. You know, like, I mean, I thought that when we did our whole show on Love and Hip Hop New York with Peter Guns and, you know, that was a real show. That was a real, I mean, these are real situations. But it's just, you see how real tonight is? I mean, these are everyday situations. Yeah, they're on TV. Yeah, they're dealing, you know, their exes are celebrities. But their stories are no different from many of your stories. You know that. Courtney's story, you guys' story, my story, in fact, with as far as some of these guys go from back in the day. Now, let's talk about Manyetta, I believe. Isn't that her name, Manyetta?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's very pretty to me. I find her to be very attractive. The reason why I say that is because she's not all extra. You know, I mean she has she's a pretty face, you know, but just not all extra with the elaborate weaves and she's got natural beauty. She carries herself with respectability. From what I've seen so far, she's not out there wilding out, you know, acting like a hoe. But just like many of you, doesn't exhibit those hoeish qualities that many of these other emotionally unavailable women do. But clearly, she's emotionally unavailable. You know, so I don't want y'all to get boxed in thinking that emotional unavailability looks a certain type of way, or I should say only looks a certain type of way, you know, because it can manifest itself in many different ways, as you see with Manyetta. Now, let's just look at what she has going on here. She's, you know, big red flag, very close still with Neo's family, you know, his mom, his sister, you know, I mean, she still lives with him. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I don't care what the situation is. If I'm a single man looking for love, I am not dealing with a woman who is still super close, or really, to be honest with you, close really in any capacity with her ex's mom. I'm just not doing it. You know what I mean? And I honestly don't know any men who would. Can you understand that, Courtney? Can you see why?
Yeah, I can. You're still attached.
Yeah, it's just not, I mean, the person's mom is, you know what I mean, they're there. I mean, the man is not far behind. You know what I mean? So it's just craziness. I mean, I just can't understand. I understand it, but it's unfortunate, I'll put it that way. I mean, no man is going to deal with a woman who still lives with their ex. I mean, I sound funny even saying that. I mean, that shouldn't even need to be said. Like, what makes, and she's talking about dating. She's talking about dating. She's talking about still being in love with him. She's talking about wanting to get back with him, but then at the same time talking about getting back out there. I mean, she must not listen to the show. Somebody get her my information, because you see what I'm saying? Like, why would anyone do that and really think that these men, you see the lack of information that's out there, you see the lack of real advice that's out there, that the fact that women actually would think that they can be clearly still emotionally connected to these guys, and that these men would really consider them wife material. That's crazy. That's craziness. She lives with, I'm sorry, guys, I'm just like going crazy over it. She still lives with him. She lives with Neo. People know Neo. Neo's a celebrity. Like, okay, oh, you're Neo's ex. So, okay, cool. But you still live with, all right, cool. Yeah, where can we go out to date? Out to eat? Let's go on a date. Let me take you out. Let me wine and dine. No one's doing that. So you can go home and give Neo some booty. You know what I mean? Like, not going to happen, ladies. You have a baby's father who you live with. You have a baby's father who still pops up over your crib and you let him smash. Okay, so yeah, let me wife you up. Let me cut off all these other women that I'm talking to and focus on you, even though you're still getting smashed off by your ex. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Let me go ahead and get right on that. Not going to happen, ladies. Okay. Now, she was very upset. She was crying. She said that Neo, all of a sudden, decided that he wasn't ready for a monogamous relationship. That's got to be tough. You know, that's really got to be tough. The funny thing is, because I watched, in fact, we even talked about it, I watched Neo's E! Hollywood True Story, that thing, and it showed how Neo got his heart broken by the other, you know, his ex. She did some real foul stuff to him, and then she was like his rebound after that woman, and he had, you know, they fell in love, and they, you know, had, you know, the kid, and you know, or actually the twins or whatever. And then they, you know, this was this whole big thing. And he was talking about how in love with it, you know, he was. And he got a DNA test on her. Did you watch that, Courtney? Did you see it?
No.
You ain't see? Yo, this dude, he was talking about how in love with it he was, and they were having a baby. But he messed around and got made her take a DNA test. I'm just like, oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, he made her get a DNA test, so she did it, and it turned out the babies were his, so he was cool, and they stayed together for, you know, several years, and now obviously they, you know, he just left her. Just left her, said he wasn't ready for a monogamous relationship. And I mean, and let me just say it, I mean, Neo's a real bastard, you know, just for doing that. See, I don't want y'all to think that me doing these shows that, you know, I'm making excuses or justifying these men's behavior. Neo's a real, you know, a real bastard, and Kevin Hart's a real bastard. I mean, you know, if he cheated, although I can't blame him, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying he's a real bastard. Anybody who cheats is a bastard. You know, Usher, same thing, bastard. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, you know, hopefully you guys listening to this show will help you avoid that. In fact, we did a whole show on it. You guys remember the all-time classic show on how to avoid dealing with a low-down, dirty bastard. I mean, is there any show we haven't done, Courtney? I mean, seriously.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, if y'all didn't hear that show, you got to listen to it. That's what I'm saying to y'all. We do these shows. We archive them for a reason. Google how to avoid dealing with the low-down, dirty bastard so you'll avoid dealing with the CeeLo's, the Ushers, the Kevin Hart's, you know, the Ray Buchanan, like all these guys. You know, you can avoid all of it, give you a blueprint on how to do it, you know. So now let's be clear about this. She is still letting Neo smash. You know what I mean? Like, they don't talk about that. They don't show that. But understand, Schaefer is still getting all up in that. Right? I mean, that's, see, when you can always look at women and their emotional state and look at what's feeding that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're getting, you know, sex on a regular basis, it's going to be hard to let those emotions go. You know, that's why she's still the way she is. Because she, you know, she's keeping the hope alive and he's still smashing. Now, the ring situation, it's just ridiculous. She said, at first she said she was going to make it. She just wants to wear the ring. So she said, well, it'll be weird to just continue wearing the ring. So she was going to get it made into something else. You know, so she went there. Then she decided, well, no, I'm just going to put it into a safe. How about you just get rid of it? How, I mean, you know what I'm saying? How about that? Why do you have to have a ring at all? You see what I'm saying, Courtney? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just an excuse to hold on to him. And did you notice she said she's going to keep it just for the kids, just as a memory to the kids? The kids aren't thinking about that ring.
It's very sad. It's just very sad that, you know, I mean, Neo is putting it on her, you know, in that manner, you know, to the point where, I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's not just about the sex. It's just, it's really the soul tie. You know, it's an emotional soul tie that has been formed. And, you know, she's just really having a hard time, you know, but again, you know, soul tie, the only way soul ties can be broken is by, you know, God and really striving. And if you notice, that's something that really each of these women evidently, and I don't know them personally, but based on the show, it doesn't appear that any of them are putting God first. It doesn't appear that though they all have a common, you know, ex situation, a common emotional bond, you know, none of them are really relying on Jesus Christ to help them heal from that. You know, and really, at the end of the day, that's the only way to get over a failed relationship, you know, is with God and, you know, and seeking him and trusting him and, you know, just putting him first. So the whole ring situation was just a clear indication that, you know, she's not over him and it doesn't even appear like she's trying to get over him. But yet she wants to date. Do you see? I mean, she did say that, right? She said she did want to get back out there.
Yeah, she said she wanted to get back out there, but she still has the pictures of them together in their home, too. So a lot of stuff. I forgot to add that. Remember she said that? Like, cute pictures of the family still there.
You can't do... Yeah, now, hold on. I thought I saw something. I could be mistaken. But was there a naked picture of her on the wall or something? Or no, maybe it was like...
I don't know.
Because I saw something. I saw a picture on the wall, but it was part of it was like blurred out. I'm thinking that maybe it was because it was her kid in the picture with him.
I don't know.
Because at first glance, but now I think about it, it's probably that's what it was. They didn't want to put the picture of the kid on camera. But at first I was like, wait a minute, they got a naked picture on the wall. But that's something that sounds like something Neo would do, something stupid like that, something crazy. But anyway. These are all good examples of clear emotional unavailability. And then having the audacity to want love on top of that. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. Now, I wanted to talk about Ray Buchanan's wife. What's her name? What's ex?
Cherie.
Okay, let me just jot this down. All right, Cherie. Now, to me, she's just horrible. She's probably the worst of the bunch, in my opinion. You know, because this is the thing. When you, and then we talk about this, just, you know, what do men look for? You know, obviously you guys know from listening to the show, the best personality, a high level of respectability, and 100% emotional availability. She has none of those things. Personality is horrible, attitude horrible, just real, you know, argumentative and just negative. You know, the respectability, though, with her is what I want to focus on. No respectability. If you remember, they went out to eat. What are they talking about out at dinner? Talking about nothing but sex. You know, what kind of sex they like, what kind of penises they like, what kind of stuff they, you know, like to do sexually. Just stupid stuff. You know, you can't expect men to, you know, to love you and to, you know, want to be with you if you are conducting yourself in an overly sexual manner. That's what I think so many women don't understand it. And, you know, you look at all these reality shows. They're all, you know, talking, you know, about sex. They're all just really sexual, whether it's Real Housewives of Atlanta and, you know, all these shows. They all, you know, get around their girlfriends and they talk about sex. Nobody, even Chili was talking about sex. Nobody is going to look at them like, oh, okay, let me bring you home to mom when you're disrespecting yourself. You know, that's not what we want. You'll never catch my wife out in public talking about sex and what goes on in the bedroom. That's not, I'm saying, that's not respectable. These women are on national television talking about what kind of size penises they like. That's crazy. But they want to be somebody's wife. People watch this stuff. People seek out this information. You know, nobody is going to, that's not what we want. So, all right, so there's that. Now she goes on to talk about how she only dates tall men. She says she only likes athletes. We've talked on the show, you know, tons of times about, you know, the real reason for that. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, you know, wanting somebody from just to look at. No, you want to be handled a certain type of way sexually. You know, somebody's tall, muscular, and all that. That, you know what I'm saying? You want to be gripped up. You want to be thrown up on the ceiling a few times. You know, which is, it is what it is, but that also speaks to the level of respectability. Because you're automatically basing who you date off of how they can please you sexually. So which kind of goes to the assumption of, well, what's your sex life like? Like what, you know what I'm saying? How many penises have you actually had? You got all these penis preferences, right? You know what I'm saying? Well, how many people have you actually been with? Those are the types of questions that are going to go through in our minds. You can't just, that, a lot of women think they just have these sex passes. It's just, okay, my past was my past. I can just, you know, have sex with whoever and, you know, however I want to, and none of that will matter, you know, in regards to who I end up with. No, it does matter. You know what I'm saying? Everything matters. Your credit score matters. You know, everything is going to have an effect on your future. And so a lot of these women are sampling penises, you know, but it's not understanding that these are things that men take into consideration when determining whether or not they can wife you up. So that's a huge problem, just her being so vocal about, you know, what she likes and what she doesn't like and why she likes, you know, those types of individuals. And then here's the thing, you know, you guys notice they attracted the, what do they call it, the Steve Harvey type of guy with that, the hairstyle, the, you know, in the bar.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
The high top fade.
Yeah.
The high top fade. He had the box. He had the Steve Harvey cut before he cut it off. And, you know, ladies, you got to understand. I mean, I had a problem with that. You know, I mean, yeah, he was clearly a loser, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, who do these women think they are? You know, I mean, really, I shouldn't say he was a loser. I mean, yeah, he might not have had the best fashion, you know, the best hairstyle, may not have taken care of himself physically, might have been a little overweight. But at the end of the day, who the heck do these women think that they are? You know what I mean? You got Tori Hart, this Cherie chick, Tamika Raymond, you know, Christina. I mean, really, what makes these women think that they're someone special? I mean, like, imagine if me being in that bar that day or that restaurant or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care who they are. Like, okay, there's Usher's ex. All right, cool. I'm not going to go over and be like, oh, yeah, let me try to get with them. Nobody cares. You know, the guy, I mean, you see, he probably just went over and wanted to be on TV. But real men are used to dealing with real women. Nobody is going to be, like, I want people to see that. I think a lot of women, they think, oh, my gosh, these women have it together. They have businesses. They have careers. They have degrees. They have money. They have cars, houses. None of those things matters. No one cares. All these men are going to see is the lack of emotional availability, the lack of respectability, and clearly none of them having a great personality. That's what's going to stand out. So please don't look at women like that, you know, in any form of envious way, thinking that, oh, they got it together. No, they don't have anything together. Those women could work at McDonald's, you know, and have a better chance of getting wifed up if they were emotionally available. That's what a lot of women, and we've said it, we'll continue to say it, you know, material things, education, money, none of that stuff matters. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. It can be icing on the cake. It can be more money in the pot when everything else is, you know, the way it should be. You know, don't get me wrong. My wife is a very successful woman. Degree, money, house, car, like, oh, I mean, that's stuff that was going on before me. So don't get me wrong. Now that we're together and, you know, that's we're now able to benefit financially and all that stuff together from that. You see what I'm saying? But that's not why I got with it. That wasn't even a factor. Those things weren't even a factor. So just keep those things in mind. Icing on the cake later on, but not at all an issue up front. Hopefully that's clear. But the main reason why I had a problem with her is which is the same reason I have a problem with many single mothers out here in today's society, which is putting their own sexual desires and, you know, behaviors ahead of the welfare of their children. I mean, you know, instilling, you know, a lack of morals and values in these kids. You know, perfect example. I mean, she's out here obviously doing all types of stuff, living a certain type of lifestyle. Well, now look at her daughter. You know, she goes to the clubs, drinking, smoking, dancing, getting her freak on with her daughter. Her daughter appears to be some type of hoe. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. It's like, was she twerking on the dance floor? It's crazy.
I'm just looking like, yo, I mean, what kind of mom allows her, or not even allows, because at that point it's too late, so you have no control, but what kind of mom doesn't raise their kid to respect their body? You know what I'm saying? You got to respect your body. Like, you got to respect yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can already tell that at 10, at 11, 12, 15, you know, what's her name? Cherie. She was nowhere to be found. She was out there wilding out doing her own thing. So her child grew up watching her do her own thing, thinking that that was okay. You see what happens when you grow up without a father who loves you, a father who cares about your well-being? You know, you end up having daughters like that twerking on the dance floor. That's disgusting. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, and the funny thing is, she thought she was sexy. Like, she's not, like, that's not sexy. I mean, you saw her. I mean, did you find that to be not sexy? But you know what I mean. Like, did you think there was anything appealing about that from a woman's standpoint?
No, I mean, it was very, you know, trashy a little bit, because here you have a mother partying with her daughter and bragging about how she parties with her daughter as if she like just to make herself look better, like, oh, I'm a cool mom because I hang out with my kids. And then did you see when she took, Tamika came with her to pick out an outfit for her daughter's birthday party or something? Like, she was picking out, like, the skimpiest outfits. It was just crazy. But she thinks it's cute.
Right. Ladies, that's not, you know, that's not a good look for you. You know, being sexy is the equivalent to being classy. You know, you can't have one without the other, you know. And then you look at also some other things that were going on with her as far as the, you know, emotional availability. You know, I know they talked about it in the scenes to come. You know, she's going through a lot of things with her dad being, you know, sick, and I don't know what's going on with him. But that's just, you know, even same thing with Mimi. A lot of you guys heard our special on Mimi and Nico with the whole sex tape. We did a whole, you know, special on that, and just, you know, the effects of, you know, the effects of sex tapes and, you know, cell phone porn, naked pictures, and just all that stuff is all tied in. Because when you're going, when you're dealing with emotional issues, whether it's a loss of a loved one, a sick parent, you know, past feelings of hurt, pain, and resentment towards an ex, that's where the sex comes out. That's where your heart becomes hardened and, you know, the booty becomes soft. You know what I mean? That's, I'm just saying, that's how it usually goes. A lot of the biggest hoes are some of the biggest, you know, just have been through some of the worst situations, whether it's rape, whether it's abuse, whether it's, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse, lies, cheating. Like, you know what I'm saying? They've really been through some stuff. And I'm not saying hoes, like, in a derogatory way, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you don't respect your body. Like, hoe is not a term exclusive to women. You know, 'cause like I always say, there are a lot of male hoes out here, a lot of bastards out here, a lot of guys who just don't respect their body. They're hoes. But the same token, you know, women who don't respect their body, they, guess what? They're hoes too. A hoe is anyone who doesn't respect their body, period. So hopefully, this is basically all. Did we leave anybody out, Courtney? Did we forget anybody?
No. No, I think we covered everybody. Yeah.
Looks like we got everybody. And so, I mean, I just want you guys to use this show if you're going to watch it, if you're going to continue watching. I mean, if you're going to watch it, which is cool if you do, I mean, I don't have a problem. You do what you do. But at least watch it, you know, with a purpose. At least, because that's why I do these shows. Like, you're going to watch it. I'm not ignorant. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit up and act like people aren't going to watch Love and Hip Hop. I'm not going to act like people aren't going to watch Atlanta X's. Like, I know the deal. I'm not an idiot. You know, I'm a realist. Like I said, oh, no, we should, as a community, boycott that stuff, and, you know, we shouldn't watch such. I mean, let's just be honest. These are the most popular shows in the black community. So, look, you're going to watch it. You know what I mean? So if you're going to watch it, at least watch it and know what not to do. Because believe me, I'm telling y'all straight up, they are not so different from many of you. As ratchet, as, you know, whatever they may be, they are very much so indicative of the behaviors of the vast majority of the black community. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some exceptions out there, but the vast majority of behaviors can be seen in the black community, can be seen every week on Love and Hip Hop, Preachers of LA, you know, Atlanta X's, all this stuff. Courtney, any last words of wisdom before we get out of here?
Oh, I just wanted just to say, you know, it was an awesome show, classic as always. And, you know, I just wanted just to say to the ladies, like, you know, if you feel that, you know, you can relate to what we discussed on the show, if you relate to, you know, some of the characters on the show, definitely, you know, I would love to work with you, you know, on a one-on-one session together. So I can be reached two ways. So you can email me at Courtney@trctoday.com, or you can actually call me at 855-55-DAYDON. And lastly, join the Each Woman Foundation, as Dana mentioned before. It's just us women. So I'm going to post a link in the Friends of the Day on Tober Show group. So definitely join.
Cool, excellent. Yeah, that's really the first step to, you know, to love. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of women say, okay, I went through whatever, I took some time, so I want to get back out there. But you got to, at minimum, you know what I'm saying, you at least got to, you know, determine if you are, in fact, emotionally available. Because you may think you're cool. I'm sure those women on the show think they're cool. I mean, obviously. That's why they're dating. But a lot of women, you know, a lot of times it ain't all good. Sometimes there are certain things that would be, you know, that would prevent you from, you know, from being found by the man that God has for you. And a lot of times, hey, you might not even be focusing on the man that God has. You might just be focused on being found. In fact, a lot of, I get presumptuous sometimes. A lot of you aren't even thinking about being found. A lot of you are thinking about, hey, I got to go find somebody. In fact, a lot of them even said that on the show. Well, I think it's time for me to go find somebody. I want to find love. Not for you to find. It's when you trust God, when you become the best possible woman, that is when you will be found. But you got to have trust to believe that. So that's it, guys. I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to invite you, as I mentioned earlier, to the grand opening in a few weeks of the TRC Hair Studio here in Philadelphia, specializing in braids, locks, you know, natural hair care, makeup, facials, eyebrows, eyelashes, if you guys are into that type of thing. Barber will be on duty. My personal barber is there. My barber for the last 10 years or so is now working with me in the shop. So you guys, fellas, come on out. Ladies, come on out. And Courtney, come on out. Courtney just decided she's moving to the Philadelphia area, so that'll be cool. You know what I'm saying?
Speak that into existence, yes.
Yeah, that'll be cool. We can do some live shows straight from. And don't get, see, I got such big plans. We're going to be doing live shows from the hair studio. We're going to be doing a lot of my new YouTube videos are going to be broadcast from the hair studio. You know, a lot of relationship forums and things like that will be there. Right, like I said, we're right there in Philly, 69th and Ogun. So if you guys are in the area, come on out. And that's it, man. We'll be selling some cars from there. TRC Auto Sales also, you know what I'm saying, got a lot of cars for sale. If you guys are interested, check out the website for our inventory. And that's it, man. Thank you all for listening on a Friday night for 3 hours. I appreciate your time. Play a little Kelly Rowland. I think this song is applicable. Still in love with my ex. Thank you all, and I'll talk to you all next time. Peace.
I never thought that we would break up for the better. Should've never made the promises to each other. So many things I should've said that you didn't know. Coming in from a past with a heavy load. But I knew that you were a good man. Gave me love, you were faithful, it showed on my hands. I know that questions in your mind you don't understand. Through the words of this song, I wanna answer. I'm sure I can lean on any time I'm feeling stressed. Check. Good love and death, the perfect soldier that was about to say I do. When I know I was a man, so I searched my mind trying to figure it out. And thought I was happy, but I'm having some doubt. Think I found the answer, and I know I must confess. I'm still in love with my ex, and I wasn't ready when I said that I loved you. And in my heart, I know that I gotta tell you. In the wrong from a situation to the next. I'm still in love with my ex. Oh, every moment to this day that dug a deeper hole. I was with you but my heart wouldn't let him go. All my family told me Kelly, he's the one for you. I know your family love me and I love them too. I'm so sorry for the pain that I put you through. But you shouldn't have to suffer, cause I'm confused. So much for looking forward to future plans. Lost the love of my life, and I lost a friend. Said to me, security. You were all the things I want, I'm checking everything. You were comforting, romantic man. How could I have said it too, when I know I was a man, so I searching my mind, trying to figure it out. Thought I was happy, but I'm having some doubts. Think I found the
from makeups to breakups, his and her Jacobs. Me and Moore got issues galore.
Sure,
it was all good, good.
Well, it was all good,
good. Now I'm reading no love letters. My homies looking at me like, you know better. But I'm reminiscing, so I have to consider. Did she go off for me? Yeah. Take a charge for me? Yeah. Turn her head when the mother hoes is calling me? Yeah. I can't lie. When she left, she took a part of me. Part of me wanna bet, but part of me can't part in she.
Nope.
Call it foolish pride, but shit, who am I? I made my mistakes, put my dirt to the side. Every time we meet, I see the hurt in her eyes. Cause I'm an ex-friend, ex-homie, ex-lover. Love without the phone calls, voicemails, etc. Try to keep the rank, forget the day I ever met.